right, QuakeCon winds down, but not without having unleashed information and a truly appetite-whetting trailer for Doom Eternal. This is just one story in a week's worth of gaming news. Stay tuned for this and so much more starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back. It's another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight, episode number 741 for this August the 12th of 2018. I am Rob Roberts, or Mr. Rob Roberts on Twitter, and joining me is Techmaster Loki. How are you, Loki?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm full.
Yeah?
Of breadsticks.
And I heard you were mentioning before the show, you actually got to play some games.
I did play games this week.
Good. We'll get into that in our gaming weeks in a little bit. And I mentioned to you off air, I went to the movies finally, because you know I never get out to the movies, never ever, but I was finally able to go see Mamma Mia 2, and I had to drive all the way to San Jose to find somebody to see it with me. So there you go. I got to see Mamma Mia. And yes, Cher steals the entire movie. I know you were dying to know, Loki, but there it is. That's my review.
So that's what's going on?
Yes. Yes. All right. Anyway, you might notice at the beginning of the show, I did not introduce Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Because she's been introduced enough times and we just said forget it.
Stop it. So here's what's up. She's actually going to be out of the show for a little while. Everything is fine. Everything is totally fine. It's a work conflict, actually. So that part really sucks. But obviously, we have to do what we have to do to pay the bills and to live our personal lives. So as you guys, I mean, she's alluded to this a couple times on the show, is that, you know, she has some changes going on at work and she's kind of doing some new things. Well, they did like a little schedule thing and she's going to have to work Sundays. So that sucks. And the part that really sucks is that I, as far as I know, we're stuck that way until February. So it's going to be a few months.
It's going to be Halo Classic Game of the Week.
You think? No, here's the thing, though. Thanks to Radio Mat, we've been here before, believe it or not. Even though people may be like, oh, you know, we have, and it does suck. Like, I'm not going to belittle that point, but, you know, I have to move forward. You know, the show must go on, as they say. So you might remember this happened a couple years ago where something similar happened. And so we used Radio Magic to get her here every week to do the classic game of the week. We'll do the same tonight, and we'll kind of continue to do that and continue to get her insight. And if you still want to like email her questions and things like that, you can. Also, I'm told she is going to try to make it one show a month at the end of the month, every month, because this whole conflict is affecting her charity stuff she does with Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, which she's talked about on the show. She's very big on them. It's actually, the problem is they also meet on Sundays. So this whole thing with Sundays is like a really bad, like, personal thing for her. But again, you know, you got to do what you got to do for work sometimes. So I think she said she's going to try to do like one show a month where she can go do her meeting and then come here. So it's not like she's gone, but it is just going to be for a little while. Loki and I holding down the fort in studio. Although I do hope to invite some of our, you know, familiar faces back and some new ones too over the coming weeks. Not that Dark Soccer's presence can possibly be filled, but we will do what we can to at least diversify the opinions here in studio beyond just Loki and myself. One way, of course, that we always diversify the opinions every week is you guys in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, where you guys join us live on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. Again, our chat at live.vognetwork.com. SSG100Matt says, damn, hope Jamie can phone in every once in a while. Well, certainly, I will definitely take her calls as a priority. I think she's working during the show, so she can't even listen, sadly. But remember, thanks to Radio Magic, we can still have Jamie here for a little bit on the show every week. SSG100Matt is also asking in chat, kind of changing things a little bit here. San Jose is near Mag West was this weekend. Were you able to stop by, Rob? Sadly, my answer is no. And the double part about that that's kind of sad is because, I was in San Jose yesterday. I went out there to visit. My friends had a baby a couple months ago. And not to get too into personal details, but the mom had some like medical issues after. Everybody's fine. Everything's fine. But she couldn't have visitors for a couple months. So I finally got to go out there to see the baby. And so I that was kind of the priority over, and then we went to the movie together. That's who I went to see the movie with, and you know, it was a little bit kind of time between us, and that was kind of the priority. I did consider going by Mag West after, but the reality is it takes me 2 hours to drive to San Jose, so I'd driven over that morning, and then it was like I was already eyeing my watch going, it's going to be 9 o'clock before I get back, and that's assuming I don't go to Mag West at all. And I was getting text updates from friends that were there that were like, oh, they have keyboard mania. You know, and I was like, oh, I haven't played one of those machines forever. But long story short, I just didn't get over there due to personal stuff. And I kind of had a headache coming on towards the end of the day anyway. So I was just like, you know what? I need to just drive home and make sure I can feed Mr. Smush, because Alan's been out all weekend, actually. Alan went camping this weekend. So, yeah, it's been like a crazy weekend all over the board. But sadly, no, I wasn't able to get to Mag West, and that's now 2 years in a row. I'm hoping next year I'll have better luck. Hopefully, well, next year, part of also why this happened when it did is that I actually probably could have done this trip sooner. But I had Clue and all those rehearsals that were taking like 6 weeks up to that. So I couldn't get out there like before now. So that also got in the way. So that probably, I mean, I say it got in the way, but I love doing that show and that experience. But that will all not be a factor next year. So I'm really, really hoping there'll be a third year. Hopefully me not attending does not get the whole con canceled. I would love to go to, I'd love to go next year. So that'll be good. SG100 Matt in chat says, understood, Rob, you got to see the baby. Yes, I do. And it was totally worth it. YYR in chat is asking about Jamie's absence here. Last time Jamie was out for an extended period, she knew in advance. Was this kind of dropped on her? Difficult for me to answer. I would have to defer to her. I think she knew there was a schedule change in the works, but she had a pretty good feeling she'd be able to get Sundays off. And I think the fact that she couldn't did kind of surprise her. That is my sort of perception based on what I've heard of what happened there. But I do know for what she does at her J job, again, I'm not going to get into all her business. That's her stuff to explain. But for what she does in her J job, actually, this change is a really good thing as to like what she's doing now. So it's just a bummer that the side effect is, but it's going to kind of put her back on the seniority, so she's having to work Sundays, which that part kind of sucks. So anyway, SSJ 100 Matt talking about MagFest, the main music and games festival back east. MagFest is going to be a free-for-all mess again. You know, the jury's out on if I want to try for MagFest this year, which sucks because I really need to kind of figure that out fast, because I know the tickets and the hotels especially are going to be crazy pretty soon here. But jury's still out on the MagFest Prime, just because between Dragon Con coming up in a few weeks, I can't believe Dragon Con is only like 3 weeks away, and then I'm doing Final Fantasy Fan Fest again. I don't know if I have the time off available. Speaking of day jobs, I don't know if I have the time off available to do MagFest. But if it all works out, I would love to do it. That's for sure. Anyway, let's get into our kickoff topic tonight. We're talking about a lot of personal stuff, but let's get into some gaming discussion. So this is an interesting... This isn't
like
about
this time. Like, why
this,
now?
This is like a business element. Yeah, this is a weird timing thing. All right, Logan, just get into it, because this whole thing is kind of weird.
So there was a guy by the name of Ryan Hupp who was selling a copy of The Evil Within 2 on Amazon. Now, it was a new copy because he hadn't unsealed it yet. It basically, he had purchased a copy for the PlayStation 4, but ended up, instead of using money to buy a PlayStation 4, he spent it on upgrading his PC, so he didn't need a PlayStation 4 copy of the game. So he went and sold it, or trying to sell it on Amazon, which people do. So Bethesda, a legal firm, Voriz, had sent a letter to him threatening legal action for noncompliance, basically saying that he is an unauthorized seller, and it was unlawful for him to be selling that game. And, you know, to which, you know, of course, there's the first sale doctrine, which allows you to do that. This law firm, apparently, though, is they like to take action against the first sale doctrine, because they even have like a page on their site talking about how they get around that, which it doesn't make any sense. Their reasoning for it was, well, it wasn't protected by the first sale doctrine because basically it wasn't in its original form, which would include a warranty. Which my thought is, where the fuck are these games coming with warranties from? Because I know if I purchase a game from GameStop or something like that that's sealed, how's that any different than purchasing it from somebody else that's sealed? Where's my warranty difference? Is it that I can take it back to GameStop if it doesn't work? I mean,
I think so, actually. Like, I think it's all in fine print, but I think, like, in the back of boxes or something, doesn't it talk about, like, a manufacturer warranty sometimes? I mean, it's one of those things, granted, I hardly ever pay attention to.
Question, I don't know if they're necessarily going to question, you know, where, you know, you purchase it from. Maybe they would need a receipt or something like that to do the warranty on it. But.
Okay, I see it. Hold on. So I just happen to have in studio a copy of Rise of the Tomb Raider on Xbox One. Don't ask. It was here in studio. And sure enough, if you take the disc out and you read the back, limited warranty for your copy of Xbox game software in the United States and Canada. So it says it's covered by this warranty within the 90-day period, blah, 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 free of charge according to the process identified below. Warranty claims should be made to your retailer. Return the – and I can't read it because the little disc nub is in the way, but I'm assuming it's return the game to your retailer along with a copy of the original sales receipt and an explanation of the difficulty you're experiencing with the game. The retailer will either repair or replace the game. Any replacement game will be warranted for the remainder of the original warranty period or 30 days from receipt, whichever is longer, blah, 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 blah. So I mean, to be fair, yes, when you buy a game, there is a warranty. You probably don't it's such fine print, and it's sitting there behind
the
disc.
Though,
who's reading it?
They're full of shit, then, if that's the case, because there still is a warranty through Amazon, because if you get a game that's defective and you file a claim through Amazon and you say, hey, this game is defective, then the seller has to give you the money back or you have to ship it off to them or whatever the case may be. So you do have coverage there. But it's whatever the case may be. Normally what it's supposed to be is that as long as it's not basically the limitations on it is that it's completely changed from its original form. Like you know, because they sell
so and Bobby says some comments here in our chat at live.vognetwork.com that I sort of he kind of simplifies it here. He could sell it pre-owned since he owned it. Your receipt is your warranty, but the first warranty was between the seller and the original retailer. So in other words, even if it was sealed, even if you never opened it, this person that ends up buying it doesn't end up buying it as new because they would not be able to – I mean, if the disc is defective or something like that, they are up shit creek. They can't use the original receipt because there is no receipt in this type of transaction. Now, look, I just want to straight – I don't necessarily agree with this whole thing. I think that's why I kind of said this is weird. And the reason why it's weird, this is like a dude on eBay. Like, what's the big fucking deal? It's a dude on eBay. Like, does he sell 5,000 of these games? Like, does he have
he's selling one.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, why? Like, is Bethesda going to patrol garage sales across America? Like, here's why I'm kind of going like,
I used to sell sealed games all the fucking time because we would get, like, promotional copies, which were just actual retail games, and I would get, like, maybe 3 or 4 copies of a game. What am I going to do with that? I could give them to friends, and I had sometimes, but I'd sell them, turn the profit. Why not?
Right.
And I didn't ever get an email from Bethesda.
Well, you know there is a why not, is that because part of the terms of the promotion is that you're really not supposed to be able to do it. But that was time ago.
It was promotional as in it was people working for these companies that they get free copies or extra copies, and they're like, here, I don't want this crap. You take this.
Yeah. I'm sure if we wanted to dig into the legalese of it, though, we could find a problem with it. But I it was a long time ago. It doesn't matter. Here's the thing, though. Okay. I went to, and I remember this is a while ago, I went to the Denials auction out in Roseville, you know, the big flea market thing. And so this was when they used to have the place across the street, also Auction Town or whatever it's called. So this is a while ago. But long story short, there was a video game booth there that's always there, and this video game booth had all these games. And one of the things they sold that they had for sale was a shrink-wrapped copy of Clue on the Super Nintendo. And I was like, fuck yeah, Clue on the Super Nintendo. Like, you know, which is ironic because I know I just talked about the movie not that long ago, but I guess I've just always kind of liked Clue in general and the whole, you know, fun murder mystery stuff. But I actually did kind of enjoy the Super Nintendo Clue game, which was also on the Genesis, if I remember right. That needs to be a classic game of the week some week because it was very different from the board game. Anyway, I wanted to get a copy of Clue on the Super Nintendo. It was shrink-wrapped. I was like, oh, there was nothing that said it was new or anything like that, but I was like, well, that's kind of cool that it's still shrink-wrapped, but I didn't think much of it. I was just like, whatever. You know, in my mind, I actually was kind of like, new or not, those Super Nintendo cartridges are fucking rocks. This game is still going to work, right? So anyway, I bought it, brought it home, opened it up. I ended up putting it in there, and as I'm looking through the instruction manual, the back of the manual already has stuff written in it. So my point is, I bought a shrink-wrap version of Clue that was there to like be passed off as new and so forth. Now, to be fair, they didn't advertise as new, but it was, you know, it's certainly being re-shrink-wrapped made you think that or whatever, but it was a resealed used copy is what it was. Now, in my opinion, if Bethesda wants to pick a fight, those types of, you know, retailers where, that are selling lots and lots of them should be where they're picking their fights.
Well, they can't, though, because there are people that you can't. I don't even know how they're able to pick the fight like that, because there's distributors. I used to work for a distributor. We sell copies of games to other companies, like a person that may work in, you know, have a shop in Denios or whatever, but they're brand new copies. So there is no, like, oh, you have to sign a form to be, you know, a special reseller of this stuff. There was nothing like that. So all of this is horseshit from their lawyers. It's all horseshit. Good luck taking that to the court and actually arguing that first sale doctrine thing. See how that works out for you. Now, granted, they're going to strong arm somebody because it's one copy. And he's like, fuck it, I don't care. It's just one fucking copy of a game. You know, fine, I won't sell it as brand new sealed.
Does Bethesda have something to gain from this? Because this sure looks at, but this has got to be all their legal company,
well,
their contracted,
like,
organization,
yeah, like,
that does,
well,
these legal things.
And here's what Bethesda said about it, too. They're like, you know, unless you remove all Bethesda products, you know, from your storefront, or was this Bethesda? No, that wasn't what they said. Oh, here we go. Bethesda does not and will not block the sale of pre-owned games. The issue in this case is that the seller offered a pre-owned game as new on the Amazon Marketplace. We do not allow non-authorized resellers to represent what they sell as new because we can't verify that the game hasn't been opened and repackaged.
Oh, wait. It wasn't eBay. It was Amazon?
Yeah, it was on Amazon.
Huh. Oh, I thought it was eBay this whole time.
You can do the same thing, though, on eBay.
In
Amazon, you can offer your items. Like, you have...
No,
like,
I know. I know the difference. I know there's the whole, like, there's plenty of shit on Amazon that instead of saying sold and shipped by Amazon.com, it says sold and shipped by, you know, Joe Schmo Gaming Company or something. But that is... That does throw an interesting monkey wrench in the whole thing.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't make any sense.
Again, here's the thing. Again, I don't agree with going after one dude or whatever, but Amazon is a storefront. The guy is being
a
store.
How should I describe my game? You know, I have a copy here. It's brand new in the box, and it's still
bought
sealed.
It and never
new
opened.
New and
it.
Sealed.
Bought not, and never opened.
Now I'm the pre.
Bought and never opened. I just told you how to describe it. Bought and never opened.
It's fucking stupid. But why overworry?
He wouldn't have got sued if he called it bought and never opened.
This is stupid. Why are we wasting time?
Okay,
on
I don't
this
disagree
crap?
That it's stupid, but at the same time, like, it's kind of like one of those, like, from a legal standpoint, I get it, but is it worth it? No, that is kind of like where my head's at right now.
Okay, well, let's just let them get away with that. Like, they got away with charging for mods too. Let's never forget Bethesda charges for mods
on
their fucking platforms.
Loki, they're not getting away with it because we're not the only podcast sitting here this week. There's and not the only gaming blog.
I understand
not
that,
the
but
only
we start
sitting
like
here going,
defending them and the saying, "Well, they were within the right." No, fuck them. You know what? Fuck them. They are a big fucking company that doesn't patch their fucking games. They can fucking
what is wrong, Loki, with saying, though, legally, I guess, yeah, maybe we should reevaluate that legal situation. Don't we do that a lot here on OLR and in life in general?
Okay,
the laws are kind of fucking stupid.
Here's hypothetically, though. Let's just think about this. So say I'm Joe Schmo who owns a game shop, okay?
Right.
And I purchased my copy of the game from a distributor who was purchased it from Bethesda.
Right.
So technically, I could be the first. The game shop would be the first owner of it, if you would say.
Right.
So really, the game shop's gonna be the first owner, and none of them are brand new anymore.
You're an authorized retailer.
Am I? Because you know,
yes.
Like I listen.
Because you went through an authorized distributor, so you're an authorized retailer.
I just explained though.
The thingy in the Tomb Raider thing I read did not say needs to go back to GameStop. It said authorized retailer.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, though. There's no difference between that copy Purchase at GameStop. Purchase from any other game
store.
Don't
ever get into law.
Directly,
if you ever get called for jury duty, you should just say, I'm going to yell and scream because law is stupid. Law is stupid sometimes, Loki.
I'm just saying, don't ever get
into law
because
it's
going to
drive you bonkers.
The first sale doctor protects this kind of crap. And many have tried to get around the first sale doctrine, and I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. Disney loves to try to fight this shit and telling you what you can and cannot do with copies that you've purchased, you know, through retail. So this is yet another company trying to do that. I'm sorry, first sale doctrine, bitch. It's always going to fuck your shit up. So you just got to get over your shit and fucking just make better games or something if that's the problem.
If we titled our show, I would title this one First Sale Doctrine, Bitch.
I mean, like, seriously, it's stupid. It's absolutely stupid.
SSG100 Matt in chat says over at live.vognetwork.com, I guess I kind of see it like buying, selling a car. Someone can't just buy a car from a dealership, drive down the street, and sell it myself as new. No, in fact, once you drive a car, they always say this, once you drive the car off the lot, it's already lost like 10% of its value.
Well, I drove it from a test drive, so technically that's off the lot, so.
You always want to fight it.
Eric, give me that 10% discount.
You always want to fight the man, Loki. All right, going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Bobby agrees with me. Going through an authorized distributor, you are an authorized retailer. Stores that you worked with, Loki, they were authorized retailers. GameStop is not an authorized distributor. YYR in chat says, are you sure you can't try to sell it as new? It doesn't mean someone is going to fall for it. But when the pink slips get exchanged, YYR, that's when your devious plan is going to go awry. Because the person giving it to you on the pink slip is no longer going to be the retailer. That's why the DMV tracks all that stuff, is who owned the car previously and all that stuff. So
honestly, just sell it again, like on eBay or something. No one's going to pay attention. No, there's no lawyers that are going to fucking come after you for that shit. So I did it all the fucking time.
Does this all tie into why GameStop will not take your games back if they're sealed? Because I always thought that was to prevent
more of an issue,
stolen games.
Well, yeah, that's more of an issue with stolen games, which that makes no fucking sense anyways, because, okay, I'm taking the shrink wrap up. Okay, now I can take it back. It's like,
well, technically, you're going to hate me tonight, Loki. I don't care. Technically, if the employee sees you do it, the employee still has to say, I'm sorry. That came in here shrink-wrapped, I can't take it, because the employee saw you doing it. Now, if you know that rule and you take the shrink wrap off as you're walking up to the store and throw it in a nearby receptacle and the employee doesn't see you doing it, then yeah, you can sell it as back as pre-owned.
And how dumb of a
But don't steal – number one, don't steal games. But number two, I mean, if you really truly bought a game that you never fucking played and you've all done it, you may not have done it with a physical game, but open up this little application on your computer called Steam. You've all fucking bought a game that you never played, okay? So if you've ever done that.
A game.
A game. At least one singular game, okay? I already know. I'm not even going to turn around and look at the chat room because I know there's going to be somebody in there that's going to be like, well, I load all of my games at least once. Anyway, I'm just not even going to look. Fine. You're special. Have a cookie. But for the most part, you're all out there. There's people that have bought games they've never fucking played. So if you've ever done it with a physical game and you've tried to go sell it back, like, you know, you should be able to do that. If you realized you made a mistake, you have buyer's remorse, you should be able to
do it. And it's the evil within, too. I mean, come on. We're not talking Skyrim here.
That's true.
Or something.
Or even something that, like, people want again, like No Man's Sky. Like, it's not even a game where it's like suddenly you want this again, you know, where it's riding a second wave
they're
or whatever.
They're just mad that someone doesn't want The Evil Within 2, and they're just like, well, it's dumb. It's dumb. It's stupid. They shouldn't get away with it.
All right, going to chat. One more comment here. MXC in chat says, I'm pretty sure a store near me sells stolen games or something. They sell the games as disc only. Yeah, that. Well, I don't think that necessarily means it's stolen, but that is strange. They could be weird flop things that, like, the manufacturing screwed up the box or something. I mean, I don't know. It's
yeah,
a stretch.
They could be purchasing damaged stuff. But
yeah, admittedly, it's a stretch. But, well, remember when GameStop used to get so much shit? Because this wasn't that long ago. This was, what, like 4 or 5 years ago when the last copy of the game in the store was just the disc. They would be like, this is our last copy. It's new. I'm going to put
it
in.
You may have noticed that your copy of Until Dawn, Rush of Blood was not sealed. Because that was the last copy.
Did they still do it?
They still fucking do it.
I thought they got rid of that.
Wait. But they're an authorized reseller. What the fuck? What the fuck, people? It's not sealed. How the fuck am I supposed to know that they're not an authorized reseller?
Actually,
Bethesda, you fucking lied to me.
Actually, if they're still checking out game, actually,
where are the lawsuits for, you know, GameStop?
I'm gonna humor that argument because actually, if they're still letting employees check out games and shit, then Bethesda should be suing GameStop.
They should be, because you know why? Because they're just too fucking lazy to make up case art, and well, you know, they're saving on costs that way because they don't want to print their own cases.
Anyway. All right, let's move on. I don't know if there's anything else we could say on this. All right, one more. SG100 Matt in chat says, Loki would be the person to buy the car at the dealership. Put an ad on Craigslist for the new car that they have to meet you at that dealership. The car can't appreciate in value if it doesn't drive off the lot, Loki.
I can see the meme right now and holding him.
Oh, the guy with the tap in his head. Can't lose value if you don't drive it off the lot.
There you go.
All right. Anyway, let's move on. That's one of many news stories we get to cover tonight. Oh, this is the problem with Jamie not being here is that there's no one to keep the peace. But at the same time, when has Jamie ever been the one to keep the peace? So I just feel like the balance is off.
That's all
right. And Loki and I are meant to fight for the next several months. All right. Anyway, let's get into our gaming weeks. Let's talk about the types of video games that we have been playing this week. So, yes. Loki, you've been playing some games.
So, I did play a couple games. So, I did actually get to play Horizon Zero Dawn finally. So, that was pretty cool. And it looks gorgeous. And I played, a few hours of that. I kind of dig it. I've already had the ending ruined for me, sort of. But I kind of forgot a lot of that. So, I'm just going to pretend that I don't know the twist. But it's enjoyable. It's an enjoyable game. I'm playing it on the easiest difficulty ever because I just don't want to give an effort to it. It's story difficulty, so you can focus on the story.
Yeah.
It's still pretty difficult.
Yeah.
So
There's nothing wrong with playing a game
don't
with
need
Bobby
to play
Blackwell
it on ultra hard, you know? Yeah. And then
Bobby Blackwell flopped at games so you could have an easy mode. So use it.
Exactly.
All right.
And then I loaded up the Java version of Minecraft because now having loaded it on my son's laptop, I realized that they have better controller support and stuff now, and it seems like it's a lot easier to do the mods and everything now, so I've been messing with that, and I put the Pokemon mod on there, and that's interesting, walking around the game and having Pokemon everywhere that you can catch and stuff.
Cute.
It's neat. It'd be cool to do like a server like that. I don't know how to run that, but it can be done. It's just,
can you run modded stuff with Realms or
not through Realms? Realms is just through like the console Minecraft.
We said like months ago we were going to do a VOG.
We
realm.
Thought about
we
it, yeah,
did.
But like, see, the console Minecraft is its own thing. So that's all not, the ones that are on everything else.
Not anymore. The PC isn't PC connected to tablet, connected to Nintendo.
Right, but that's the Windows 10 version.
Okay.
So the Windows 10 version is connected to all of those cross-platform things. I'm talking about the Java version.
Sorry. You did say old
Minecraft.
You're right, yeah.
So, yeah, old Minecraft, you can do all that fun stuff with Forge and everything. So I was trying that out. I couldn't get any of the shaders to run, which is weird because I have like a GTX 1060 in there. So
whatever happened to 4K graphics in Minecraft?
They teased that
E3 2017. And I know y'all are laughing. Ha ha, Minecraft in 4K. But seriously, check out the screenshots. Like, it looked gorgeous because, sure, it still has that old, like, you know, retro look to it. But, like, the water was really,
yeah,
like the sunsets and the environments.
Yeah, look
really
at, like,
detailed.
Sonic Ether's unbelievable shaders or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, they can, it looks really nice. And you can do, like, higher res textures and everything like that. Yeah, I wasn't able to get it to work on my version of Minecraft that I had, so I'm still trying to figure that out, but well, whatever. I mean, it looks all right, and it runs good. And then what else did I play? That's about it. I didn't really work a whole lot this week on programming stuff. I mean, I sort of did. I kind of was gathering information and everything. I'm trying to basically build what I had started building in Unity for one of my game projects in Unreal now. So I was kind of trying to see if there's better ways to do everything. So that's what I was doing this week. And then I picked up a Surface Pro 3. So I've been doing that. That's going to be exclusively for artwork and stuff. So I can actually draw my own artwork easily. So I'm looking forward to messing with that.
All right. My gaming week, pretty dull, mostly because I was gone most of the weekend. So it's kind of a repetition of a lot of my old go-tos. Final Fantasy 14 was a big chunk of that because they got a minor update this week, but it added this new thing called Eureka Pagos to it, for those of you that play the game. So I've grinded enough of Eureka Animos where I could go into the new one, the Pagos. So I was checking that out a little bit, but it's because it is so new, like there's a lot of stuff people are still trying to figure out with it. So it's probably going to take a couple weeks before people, because you know there's crazies out there that'll grind max level as fast as they can and then, you know, kind of help people figure things out. So it's still in kind of a discovery mode. So been playing more of the first Eureka to still try to level up to the absolute cap that you can get to. Because it's interesting, Eureka is like a separate leveling system than the rest of the game. But Eureka is also meant to be a little bit more of a throwback to Final Fantasy XI, because like it's all about getting parties together to chain XP mobs and get XP that way. And if you die, you level down, just like in Final Fantasy XI. So unless you get resurrected, which is actually a pretty easy thing to get. So, but yeah, if you're too lazy and you don't get resurrected, you actually lose XP like you did in 11. So, but it's all aside. It doesn't affect the main game at all. It's all like a side thing that you do. That's where they put the new relics. So if you want to get your relic weapon, it's all in there. So I've been playing a bit of that in Final Fantasy 14, and then continuing Heroes of the Storm. I've been playing two or three games of that like every day just to make sure I get my quests done. And you might be wondering, like, which character do I play? Which character do I like to play? I really kind of float around everybody because I'm always trying to finish my quests. But lately, I've really taken a liking to Hanzo, which is weird because I can't stand him in Overwatch. But like in Heroes of the Storm, I really love some of the builds he can do because he's so good at what they call wave clear. So like, you know how like in lane games, there's like minions that will like, you know, crawl across the map. Mm-hmm. So like Hanzo has this thing where he can like insta-kill minions if you build his thing a certain way. So it feels like really rewarding to kind of like, if you're the only one on a lane, which sometimes happens, to like just insta-kill all the minions. And then it's really easy to kind of push the towers that way. So yeah, I don't know. Like I really like playing Hanzo in that game. So yeah, except he's so weak. Like if somebody decides to target him, they can shred him so fast. So that's the thing with Hanzo, but he can run over walls. That's the other thing. So, like, if you get in a bad situation, you just run over walls and try to get out of it. So, anyway, that's been pretty much my game of week otherwise. So, no real announcements to tell you guys about. I already talked about Dragon Con stuff last week, so I won't repeat myself, except that we will not be here Labor Day weekend, as I will be at Dragon Con in Atlanta. And if you're planning to be at Dragon Con, I really do hope to see you there. I will have several panels where you can come say hello. I will publish a full schedule shortly. Actually, it'll be in the app, which is expected to be updated around the 20th. So about 10 – well, actually, not yeah, about 10 days before the con, 9 days before the con. So the app will be fully updated, and you can actually go. And when you go into the guests – attending professionals, you can actually find Rob Roberts and you'll be able to see my whole schedule right there in the app. The funny thing is, and I did this last year, which was my first year as an attending professional, because you can like you make your own schedule in the app. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I'll do is I'll look up myself and like favorite all my own stuff to like make sure that that my schedule is there first, and then the other stuff that I want to see I add to it, because it'll tell me if there's any conflicts. Because like last year there was something I wanted to see and I couldn't go because I had a panel at the same time. It's like, whoop, conflict. That's the only bummer about Dragon Con. Too much going on that's sometimes scheduled at the same time. So anyway, yes, Bobby, I will favorite yours next. The sad thing is, Bobby, there's, and you already know this, there's stuff that we have at the exact same time. In fact, I believe the very first panel time slot, Friday, 10 a.m. Well, unless you count Thursdays, because Thursday's the new Friday. But pretty much Friday, the very first time slot in the morning, like Bobby and I have a conflict. We are next door to each other. He's in like video games B and I'm in video games A. We have like panels, and we are both moderating said panels. So literally competing against each other. But I have the Mass Effect actors. He has cell phone game development, if I remember the timing right.
I think we know who's going to win that.
Well, here's the thing. Maybe in popularity, yes. However, like, yes, I will win that contest in popularity. But that's not really about that, because if I'm a developer, sometimes it's not about like that. It's about what are you going to get out of a panel. If I'm a developer, you're going to get more out of Bobby's panel than you will out of mine with a Mass Effect. But if you're a fanboy, you're going to get more out of mine than you will.
Well, I would go to Bobby's panel anyways because I don't really care for Mass Effect.
See, there you go. And that's totally fine. Both panels will be great. All right. Anyway. All right. SSG100 Matt in chat says, one of you should pull a Carson and storm the other's panel. You know, it is what is interesting is it is the first year that Bobby and I are kind of doing it. So honestly, I could go over there and say I'm Bobby Blackwolf, and he could go over there and say he's Rob Roberts. I don't think anyone would ever know.
Oh, they would when they start asking development questions and you don't have any answers.
I'd just be like, that's a good question. What do you think?
I wish I knew that. No.
Well, just have you tried turning up the graphics on level 3?
Have you turned your development on and then back or off? And
yes,
back
have you
on
tried again? Turning it off and then on again?
All right,
look, no, I'm not going to do that to the poor developers out there that really want to learn something from the talented people behind Simpsons Tapped Out. That cell phone game is nuts. I know people that play that game that wouldn't even consider themselves gamers, but it's like, dude, you're obsessed with Simpsons Tapped Out. Like, you're a gamer. So anyway, moving on. Let's get into some news stories and stop talking about dueling panels. Loki, why don't you start us off with some news tonight?
Okay, so there's lots of different Diablo games in the works, says Blizzard. Apparently, they put out a short video with the community manager, Brandy Kamel, and promised that they're not ignoring the Diablo fans, that they have multiple projects in the works. Some of them are going to take longer than others, but we may have some things to show you later this year. Hint, hint, BlizzCon.
Yeah, hint, hint, BlizzCon.
Later this year, get those pre-orders. Or do they already sell the tickets for that? Or
there is, I think, a surprise third wave of tickets coming up shortly. But the main waves have all sold out. And I would imagine this third wave is probably like rejected cards and possible spam bot things that have been caught for the first two waves being released. So I would imagine this third wave is going to be very small. So
well, pre-order that pay-per-view.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they have the good old pay-per-view, I guess.
So,
yeah, man, I do wish I was going to Diablo this year, or BlizzCon this year, because Diablo is my favorite of all the franchises that
Blizzard
does.
Apparently, Eurogamer was saying that...
Have you heard some of the rumors?
Yeah, they reported that Diablo 3 is coming to the Switch.
And that one's been out there for a while. I think that would be a good thing to drop at BlizzCon for the holidays, is that Diablo 3 is coming out on Switch. I mean, but there's also that part of me that's like... Okay, but like I've literally played through Diablo 3 like hundreds of times. Like there's only so much more I can give to that game. If they're going to sweeten the pot by putting some new stuff in Diablo 3, like a proper expansion, but I'm not going to hold my breath because I kind of think they're working on Diablo 4. I think we're far enough out now where we can start saying the number 4. But the other rumor that's out there is that they are going to remaster Diablo 2. Just like they did with StarCraft not that long ago.
Maybe.
Because, you know, people still love StarCraft, and there's still people that swear by Diablo 2 as the Diablo, which I totally get, because there was a lot that changed between Diablo 2 and 3, especially when it comes to, like, classes and just the way the game played. So there's people that are still loyal to Diablo 2, so to remake Diablo 2 with just HD graphics, I think there'd be a huge interest for that. So I wouldn't be surprised at all for that to be a big reveal as well. So those might be like they're sooner than others. They're going to announce, mm-hmm. you know, Diablo 3 on Switch and Diablo 2 remaster. And maybe, you know, again, I'm fan wanking. get the tarp because I'm fan wanking. Maybe the way they're going to sweeten the pot with Diablo 3 on the Switch is to include the Diablo 2 remaster on the Switch with it. Wouldn't that be something?
I don't know if that...
I warned you, it was fan wank. All right. So anyway, but those would probably be the sooner things than like Diablo 4 would be the way out thing. So, but I'm expecting it to be a very Diablo year at BlizzCon because, I mean, Overwatch, like, they might unveil a new character, but like Overwatch, I don't see them suddenly going, we're going to make Overwatch 2. Like Overwatch League is still kind of like, you know, the Overwatch League we know is going to grow next year. And, you know, I feel like it's still kind of like... They don't need to do a lot of... I would still love for them to announce we're making, like, some PvE dedicated stuff that's not part of of an event, that, like, there's going to be some year-round PvE in the game. I still would love to see that, but I'm not holding my breath on that. I feel like Overwatch is still enough of an attraction that people want to check it out. World of Warcraft, they've got an expansion coming out next week, believe it or not. So they're not exactly going to announce a new expansion at BlizzCon.
StarCraft?
They may announce a new patch. So yeah, that leaves StarCraft and Heroes of the Storm. Well, Heroes of the Storm, like Overwatch, they're just going to keep adding to it. So they're going to be like, we have a new battleground, some new heroes. That's what they'll do with Heroes of the Storm.
Hooray.
So yeah, either they're going to unveil something. Their big unveil has got to be either StarCraft, which would mean like a StarCraft 3 or another StarCraft 2 expansion. I just don't think now's the time for StarCraft. I think now's the time for Diablo. I really do. Because StarCraft just got that remaster last year. That was kind of their big thing. So it's Diablo's time to shine.
Do a new game?
They could. Blizzard like could have. And then, of course, IP. I'm neglecting Hearthstone. But again, Hearthstone is also just an evergreen type of game where they'll say, oh, we've got another card expansion coming. Sure, Blizzard could always announce a new game. Why not? The only time I went to BlizzCon was the year they announced Overwatch, and it was a big fucking deal. Like, Overwatch was a very new type of thing for Blizzard. So I'm sure Blizzard's working on a whole new idea out there somewhere. But, you know, we'll see. I don't know if this is the year for that either. Over in chat at live.vognetwork.com, Bobby Blackwolf says, it's Rock and Roll Racing's time to shine. Bring back Rock and Roll Racing. You know what? Rock and Roll Racing would actually make an amazing map in Heroes of the Storm. So I'm kind of surprised that isn't something that they're trying to do as like a racing map, or like as part of the the lanes or tracks, and then like you could like unveil like as part of like the mini objectives, like cars that would like drive over your enemies and stuff and knock them back. That'd be really funny. But anyway, who knows? Act Deft in chat says, I still want Overwatch on Switch. Well, never say never. I mean, that could be a thing. Could happen. All right. Kaijudo in chat says, in the era of microtransaction, I'm not happy about a Diablo 2 remake. Well, for what it's worth, Kaijudo, when they did the StarCraft remake, it was just like they didn't inject DLC into it, and they didn't inject like other stuff. It was like pay $19.99 and get original StarCraft just as it was, but with HD graphics. So I have a feeling if they do a Diablo 2 remaster, it's not going to be like it's going to be like, if you want to play Diablo 2 with pretty graphics or whatever, it's $20 or $30 or whatever they end up charging for. I don't think they'll suddenly be like, and we're putting treasure boxes in it. Nah, I don't think they'll do that.
Nah.
I don't think they will. All right. Anyhow, let's talk about the Smash Brothers Direct that happened this week. Did you watch the Smash Brothers Direct?
I did.
Loki? I didn't. I have to admit, I'm only mentioning this based on what I've read around the internet, and I did watch one reveal trailer because I am very excited about Simon Belmont coming to Super Smash Ultimate. And I realize he's been rumored for a long time, but it still was something to see that whole unveil trailer with not just Death killing Luigi, but like all of the bosses were in that little reveal trailer. That was pretty badass.
Yeah, that's all part of that one level too.
I'm like, I never realized I want Nintendo to make a new Castlevania game. Or I guess maybe if they're having Namco Bandai's help or whatever. But like, I'm like, damn, like they make Castlevania look real good. So yeah, Simon Belmont is coming to Super Smash Ultimate. And since they're doing this whole shadow characters, is that what they're called? Shadow characters?
Echo Fighters.
Echo Fighters, excuse me. Since they're doing
padding roster is what they roster padding.
They're fucking allowed, Loki. They're fucking allowed. Honestly, after some of the stuff that Sakurai has delivered with this, they're fucking allowed to do like elaborate palette swaps that they want. I'm totally okay with it. So yes, they're doing a Echo Fighter for Richter Belmont in addition to Simon Belmont, which I think is badass. I think I kind of like Richter.
No Alucard. I mean,
just careful what you wish for. You never know, so you don't know what's there. That was not the only character they unveiled. They also unveiled King Karool, if you will, the antagonist in the Donkey Kong series, well, the modern Donkey Kong series, not the old ones, obviously, because the antagonist in the old Donkey Kong game was Mario. Plot twist. But anyway, King Karool. I think
More fucking Fire Emblem characters. Hooray!
Which are also Echo Fighters, right?
Yeah.
King Karool is, honestly, I'm not that excited about that unveil. Like, send your hate mail right on in. I don't care.
All the dudes from Contra dudes.
But I'm not that excited. I mean, here's the thing, though. I'm not shitting on Smash Brothers Ultimate by any means. This game is going to be fucking fantastic. And with the roster as big as it is, Echo Fighters or not, they're allowed to have one or two characters that I'm going to go, you know what? I'm just not going to play that character.
I can't wait for the very last direct that they're going to have at Smash when they announce Waluigi, because they're going to save that for the end.
Y'all need to let it go. Waluigi is not going to be in the fucking game, and you need to just let... Well, he's going to be an assist, and that's it. And y'all need to let Sakurai get his fucking sleep and never ask him for anything ever again.
It's coming. It'll be the last one. The very last one.
No, because this is the thing. Waluigi does not need his redemption as much as Wart, the antagonist in Mario Brothers 2,
has
disappeared ever since. That's
or half
I
of the other
Mario
Brothers 2 characters. I mean, geez.
Honestly, Wart would make me so fucking happy.
What about Birdo?
I would cry. Sure, I'll take it. I'll take Birdo. But Wart is really like... Wart is my like A-tier wish list. Birdo's like B-tier.
Birdo could be like an Echo Fighter for like Yoshi or something.
Going to chat. Bobby Blackwolf said, Luigi died and will be replaced by Waluigi.
Well, technically Mario died too, so there's a lot of death in there.
Let's see. SHO 100 Matt points out, Wart and Mouser were a dream. You know what? Some dreams are real. Dreams are a reflection of reality, are they not? All right, anyway.
I just think they need to go obscure. Captain Rainbow. Let's put Tingle in there.
Let's put Tingle.
Like, that's an actual fighter. Fuck this assist shit.
Do you know what's funny, though, since I talk about, like, people need to fucking leave Sakurai alone and all this stuff? Did you know he actually went to Twitter this week? And a translated version of the tweet reads like this. Again, I'll do my best for the presentation tomorrow. It'll start at a relatively convenient time in Japan, so please watch it. My eyes might be a little red. That's because they're a little tired. Because people are kind of noticing that Sakurai looks like he's fucking been through it. Like, he looks like he has been through it. So that's why I'm saying you Waluigi fucks need to leave him alone. Leave Sakurai alone. He's created one of the greatest video games of all time. Leave him alone. That was my attempt to mimic leave Britney alone to make success. Anyway. keep in mind during all of this, like, this game is in crunch time right now. So this is like, and this game is already announced, like, it is happening for the holidays. It is not getting pushed back. So you know what? Sakurai is probably having a rough life right now. I just hope, you know what? When he has finished the game and he's released it and it sold 11 billion copies, I hope he gets a fucking vacation. You know what? He can do what Barack Obama's done. He can fucking take a vacation and not look back on this shithole of a country. That's what he can do when he's earned his due. He can just take a vacation and never come back. He's earned it. I'm not saying he should never develop again. No, I love him and he should. But if he wants to take a nice long vacation for like 2 years, he is allowed. SSGA 100 Matt says... he wanted a vacation after Smash 4, but Nintendo wouldn't let him. Well, that's why I'm saying, Nintendo, give the man a fucking break. Anyway, let's move on. More news, Loki.
So Nintendo, speaking of, well, I don't know if they're not necessarily giving people a break, but, you know, they have that whole lawsuit against Love ROMs for, of course, storing ROMs of their games on there, and they've taken them to court for that. So kind of spooked by that, MU Paradise is actually announcing that they have, based on, you know, the recent legal action of other ROM sites, they'll be changing and ceasing to offer ROM versions of Nintendo's and other companies' older games. It's not worth it for us to risk potentially disastrous consequences. I cannot in good conscience risk the future of our team members who have contributed to the site throughout the years. We run MU Paradise for the love of retro games and for you to be able to revisit those good times. Unfortunately, it's not possible right now to do so in a way that makes everyone happy and keeps us out of trouble. So they said, thus we've decided to make a new start. We will continue to be passionate retro gamers and will continue doing cool stuff around retro games. But you will or you won't be able to get your games from here from for now. Where we go with this is up to you.
Well, what can you say? I mean, the games will be elsewhere. They will always be elsewhere. This is the internet. One site goes down, another one goes up. So I think as far as like the website Emu Paradise is concerned, now it's kind of a test of the community you know, without the ROMs, are they still going to, you know, have the community to keep that site, you know,
they're never
gonna going to
stop ROMs from being on the internet. No. They're everywhere. All it's going to do, if they really start hammering down on these ROM sites, it's just going to push it more underground.
You know, we were talking a little bit about this at the end of Bobby's show this week. I don't want to repeat myself too much, but, like, you know, as much as I respect Nintendo's right to protect these games that they made in the 80s, if they want to, you know what? You can't pirate Disney movies that were made in the 60s and the 50s, you know, as much as you want to. You can't just pirate and copy those movies. So if Nintendo wants to enforce the trademark on their games, they have that right, whether you like it or not.
But I
also think, you don't want to like take ROMs away completely, because there is a lot that can be learned about game development from them. There's a lot that can be unveiled about games that never existed in the first place. You know, and what we've learned from the failures of that. And there are some developers like that have made MAME games in the past. They made arcade games that then were emulated in MAME, and the guys that made the original arcade games released their source like public domain to be like, sure, emulate all you want, learn from what we developed, learn how we made the games, use this to learn. So I think I would never want to see emulation go away completely. Absolutely not, because I think there's so much to learn from those that are fine with their stuff being released to the public.
Well, once
like
again
that.
Though, like, I don't even know, I mean,
Robbie
I
get... Roto or whatever that game is that was released not that long ago. Well, it was probably like 5 years ago at this point, but
like, I understand that they would have to enforce their copyrights or they lose it, but at the same time, I don't think that this pirating ROMs is necessarily... Well, first off, I mean, like, if you own copies of the games and you're just getting a ROM dump of it, I don't see the problem there in the first place. And second off, is it really affecting the sales of these things? I'm like, I've downloaded full ROM sets of the NES library and Super NES library like dozens of times. I still bought those ROMs. Like, I bought them originally when they were out in the NES. I bought them on the Super NES. I bought them on the Wii. I bought them on the 3DS when I had it. I bought them on, you know, the Wii U. I bought the NES or the Super NES Classic, so it's not affecting my purchasing of their stuff.
Believe it or not, I'm like right with you there. Like, yeah, I've downloaded a shit ton of ROMs in my day, but I still support a lot of way more than I'd like to admit of the virtual console stuff that Nintendo's and likewise put out. Even like Sega, like the Sega Genesis collection. I don't know how many times have I bought the Sega Genesis collection on like different systems, like PC, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, like a lot. Okay, and I'm even still eyeing like, do I want one of those Sega Genesis like plastic consoles that they sell at Target? Like, I'm still like, and the same thing with Atari Flashback. Like, you can fit the entire Atari library on like an old floppy disk. Like, those games are itty bitty. That's part of what's so fucking impressive about how so many of them were programmed, is that those games are so small in the data. But anyway, like, you know, the entire Atari 2600 library is not that big. I'm still sitting here going, I kind of want to get an Atari Flashback 8 with all the Activision games on it. Like, just because they're that good. And I buy the Atari stuff, like, you know,
yeah.
Anyway,
so I just don't understand, like, what is, I mean, I get that they're
emulation is emulation. It's emulating,
it's like
the real thing. It's not the real
thing. Coming after these companies, like, I mean, this stuff has been out there forever. So I don't understand, like, why now they decide to, like, come after these companies. I mean, my thought is just that, like, do you really want to turn people, like, against, like, I not necessarily turning against them because of, but like when it starts with these emulation sites, and then eventually it's going to move to, oh, hey, these are the guys that are actually, you know, getting the archives of the stuff for historical preservation, and now you're going to come after them. Because it's going to just eventually lead up to that.
I hope not. I mean, you know, honestly, I realize that those words aren't going to hold a lot of weight, but I really hope not, especially, you know, with some of the great things that a lot of video game preservationists are trying to do. You know, I would really hope Nintendo would respect that, like, what those guys are doing is not about trying to just like distribute a shit ton of ROMs and derail Virtual Console or whatever Nintendo wants to invent in their mind. But there are people that really do want to preserve video game history as an art form, as, you know, there is a film. What is it? The Film Preservation Society or whatever. Maybe one of you guys in chat knows the exact name of this. They select like 20 or 25 films a year to be preserved like forever type of thing. Like, or the way that books get preserved in a library and in like, you know, a national library and so forth. Like, you know, video games are an art form that deserve to have some preservation efforts taken around them because discs rot, servers go down and they go away forever. But there ought to be a way that, you know, the future can play these games too. Just like, you know, it was funny. Melody and I were talking the other day about, you know, some of the stuff I was joking because when the baby was trying to grab my finger, I started to get an Xbox controller and I was like, here, you should start learning on this. And Melody says, Oh no. We're going to make her play 8-bit games first. Then she's going to play 16-bit. And I've heard a lot of new parents say this type of thing. Like, we're going to work them through the generations just like we did it. But it's like, whoa, what if the 8-bit games and 16-bit games aren't there to do that with? I mean, sure, Super Mario Brothers will probably always be released on every Nintendo system ever, but what about The Guardian Legend? I consider The Guardian Legend to be an 8-bit classic that I fucking grew up on that, like, makes me part of, like, the gamer fan that I am today. That game has never been available on Virtual Console, any type of legal collection. If it were not for emulation, I couldn't play The Guardian Legend. You couldn't play The Guardian Legend to see what is it that Rob loves so much about this fucking game.
I bought you a copy of The Guardian Legend.
Yeah, I know. I actually have The Guardian Legend like 3 different times on cartridge, but I'm okay with that. I am totally okay with that. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
you know, if I don't have a working Nintendo and a cartridge like that, there is no other legal way for me to play it, and I don't want that game to go away. And there's going to be some games that just fall in this weird fucking tricky legal void because one company swallowed another company, where if it wasn't for emulation, you wouldn't be able to do this. So anyway, going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. SSJ100 Matt says, sounds like this baby is going to be a future OLR co-host in 18 years. Well, you know, that's the plan, is to hand it off to Josh and Julian in the future. And then possibly other new kids as well. And then that way it will always keep the crown of longest running gaming podcast. How have you done a gaming podcast for 100 years? Well, it all started many years ago. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about some changes with Twitch. Let's talk about newer things, very new things. Another way we kind of preserve games through video and broadcasting. So Twitch is going to be making some big changes. And when I saw the headline, I actually got the email about this, as did many of you Twitch users. And when I first saw that the email said, we're getting rid of communities, I was a little bit sad because I actually really like the communities for discoverability, especially being part of the LGBT family on Twitch. I am always using LGBT to find, you know, other streamers on Twitch that are in that family as well. So when I first read this, I was like, this is really sad. But I also realized that most of the communities, I'm using my quotey fingers, most of the communities on Twitch are like named after games. And it's like, that doesn't, like, you shouldn't need a community for Super Smash Brothers because you put that you're streaming Super Smash Brothers and people will find it. You don't need communities based on games. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I guess to some extent, Twitch has kind of realized that this is going on too. So they're changing it. And I must admit, once I read fully the changes, I'm okay with it. In fact, actually, I do think it's going to be for the better in the long run. So here's the deal. They're going to have a new tagging system. So you'll be able to tag your streams. And they... LGBT specifically, they actually called out in the email specifically the LGBT streamers, and they mentioned that that will be a tag. But they're also going to do tags for like first time playthrough, game development, speed runs, you know, all these like different types of things. And I did appreciate that Twitch was very open to be like, here is a spreadsheet of all of the tags we're going to be introducing. And if you don't think we've have something captured here, like, let us know. Reply to this email. I don't know if this only went to affiliates, maybe, but I feel like everybody probably got it. Maybe it was just an affiliate thing. Hopefully it wasn't under NDA. But anyway, I mean, honestly, no, I think it's great what Twitch is doing to try to proactively get out there and listen to the feedback from the community. There's also going to be more categories that are going to be added to Twitch as well. Things that are going to help make things more specific than just IRL and creative. So they're going to break these down into art, hobbies and crafts, food and drink, music and performing arts, beauty and body art, science and technology, just chatting, travel and outdoors, sports and fitness, tabletop RPGs, special events, talk shows and podcasts, and ASMR, which, you know.
For those of you that like to have your gaming streams like this, and now I'm going to slowly click the buttons as I play the game.
Have you ever tried to get into that? Alan loves that ASMR.
I watched one. It was, I think it was a parody, but it was still all ASMR. It was like ASMR bank robbery.
And look, I'm not. If that's what you're into, look, Alan like loves that stuff, and I tease him. I'm only teasing because I love. And like honestly, like for ASMR, nothing is ever going to beat the pickle lady. There's that lady on YouTube. I don't know her name. Maybe someone on YouTube knows it. She's infamous. And she's sitting there and she's got, like, she shoves this gigantic ass fucking pickle in her mouth and she just chews down on. And it's just like all this noise. And I'm like, damn, that's impressive. But I guess some people, like, just depend, like, really sensitive to that type of noise. Like, it's very relaxing. Just like how some people can, I'm sure there's a lot of people that want to sleep with a white noise machine. Whereas I can't stand those things. But for some people, it really helps them. So, anyway. Looking at our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. SSJ100 Matt says, sounds like NPR. Just needs some smooth jazz in the back. Let's see. Tiger Claw says, I sleep with a white noise machine. A fan. Raginator says, just watch. The tagging will get abused in ways that Twitch isn't foreseeing. And eventually they'll say, yeah, we didn't see this going to shit in a dumpster fire. Well, Raginator, for what it's worth, you're not going to be able to invent your own tags. You do have to use the tags that are there. And especially with so many affiliates and partners and things, you don't want to get kicked out of those programs by doing something stupid with the tagging program. So, I mean, obviously, it's not going to be perfect 100% with the time. There's always going to be some trolls. But I think for the most part, it should be okay. So, anyway. Kaijudo in chat says Twitch blows with these tags. I'd be curious a more elaborated version of that comment. Like, what do you not like about that? I'd be curious because I'm open to it. I realize that communities probably aren't working quite as they were intended. I like them, but it also really annoys me that the Xbox version of Twitch. And I realize Microsoft's got the whole Mixer thing going on, so maybe Twitch isn't as, you know, wanting to get updated on Xbox, but it really annoys me that the community search isn't on the Xbox version of Twitch. And I don't even think it works on the new PlayStation one. I don't think has it. I could be wrong, but I'm kind of annoyed that. So I hope if they do bring the tagging that they will update the viewer on all these different, you know, systems they have them on to support the tags as well. That would be wonderful. All right. A few more stories before we get to the classic game of the week, Loki.
All right. So this is something that's been going on this week. There was this review by a now former IGN editor by the name of Philippe Musin. And he was fired because apparently it was thought that he plagiarized his review from a YouTube channel. So he had there was a YouTuber by the name of Boomstick Gaming that did a review for Dead Cells, and it came out several days earlier. And then he released his review on IGN, and then, of course, Boomstick Gaming kind of noticed that, and they put out a video comparing the two, saying, hey, he plagiarized my review. And so then IGN reviewed it, and they took down the review and basically fired him. Because they thought, I guess, as well, that he did, you know, I guess enough of the review was taken from the other one. Then on top of that, though, so after that whole drama happens, there's other articles coming out. People start looking at his other reviews, and apparently his FIFA 18 review is also very similar to the FIFA 18 Switch review is very similar to what was on Nintendo Life. And also, apparently he had done this maybe with even some other reviews for other games. But he had come out on his YouTube channel and basically said, you know, the bottom line is that what happened with Dead Cells reviews was not at all intentional. So with all that said, I just want to apologize to everybody at IGN for the undeserved criticisms and doubts that many may have sparked in their credibility as respected source for games media. Basically saying, you know, yeah, it was just a coincidence that I happened to use this similar phrasing to these other channels and stuff, but it's a little too close to what it was.
So he sort of admitted that there's a problem and then said, but it wasn't a problem. Like, I really feel like there's like a complete contradiction.
Right.
Even within this like YouTube thing.
And then apparently there's also a third review that he had done as well. And Gadget had posted a review of Metroid Samus Returns last September. And then about 5 days later, he posted his own review of the game, which is also very similar in the wording of that. I don't know if he's just happened to be maybe copying styles of these other reviews, or if he's just not playing these games and just reviewing them based on, you know, I don't know. But it's a pattern, and it's not a good pattern. And that's not very favorable if you want to get into, you know, the writing industry.
Especially when so few opportunities are available. And I can't tell you how many people I know and that I follow online who have this lifelong dream of doing journalism. And journalism right now is really fucking hard because nobody's buying newspapers and magazines. I shouldn't say nobody, but far less than what used to are buying newspapers and magazines anymore. Everybody's going to the internet where everybody ad blocks because, you know, unfortunately, and I sort of think the ad industry is solely to blame for that. I don't think people would be ad blocking if the ads didn't get ridiculously intrusive.
Well, not only the ridiculously intrusive, but containing malware and other shit.
That's a whole nother Oprah. But the reality is, because of those reasons, whatever they are, because people have ruined it for everyone else and people are ad blocking, like, you know, there isn't a lot of money to be made there. So it's like it is really fucking hard to be a journalist right now, and those opportunities are few and far between. So to hear that somebody was able to get into IGN only to do this is like, that's kind of a slap in the face to everybody who's working really fucking hard to break into that and like can't, because they just the right opportunity just doesn't fucking come up. And it also goes a long way in saying, you know, I'm probably going to regret what I'm about to say, but it also goes a long way in saying, like, what's the difference between these big organizations and the YouTubes that they do and the podcasts that they do and their fucking opinions and the independents and our fucking opinions? What's the difference? Well, this should probably demonstrate to you not much, because if this guy did a YouTube thing on Metroid Samus Returns, it took this long for him to get fucking caught.
Well, but he's done this multiple times.
So when you come to me and say, "Well, IGN said this," or, you know, GameSpot said this, that's why sometimes I say, fucking what?
Those reviews though weren't necessarily on IGN. So the other two, the FIFA and the other one, were on his YouTube channel.
Okay, fair enough. I stand corrected.
So IGN was just the Dead Cells one, but you know, it's hard. Like, YouTube and the internet is a big place, and it's hard to scrutinize every single review out there. So it's just, you know, in this case, it had to be the reviewer that did the actual review in the first place noticing that, hey, IGN has a review that sounds just like mine. That's odd. And, you know, pointing it out.
MXC in chat at live.vognetwork.com says, "I do not believe this person's response to the plagiarism allegations. As someone who writes reviews, I very specifically avoid looking at anyone else's reviews, previews, etc. before writing my own. I don't want to compromise my opinion, etc. or inadvertently use a similar phrase or reference. With that said, it's incredibly clear that this is a case of plagiarism from the writing. He did more work than a typical high school plagiarist, but things are still written in the same order." You know, and I do want to clarify something, because even though I'm saying what's the difference between IGN and GameSpot and all this stuff and us, I do think there are some journalists that are doing a really great job. What can these journalists do that go beyond even maybe what, you know, independents have the time or resources, I suppose, to be able to do? And to give credit where credit is due, and this is really going to surprise some of you guys, but it just goes to show that opinions can change, people can change, places can change. But I was really impressed with Kotaku's reporting on what went on over at Riot Games. And that was a big thing that just came out. Was that this past week or was that 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, it was
recent. But that was some impressive fucking like 6 months plus worth of really trying to crack what was a hard nut to crack because they'd scared all these people into not talking. So I do want to give credit where credit is due, even though I'm saying, especially when it comes to like opinions, reviews, things like that, what's the difference between them and us? Not much. But like, you know, when you have the resources, when you have the contacts, when you have that time to really try to get into it and you know, get to the core of things, there are some several people out there doing some very impressive things. And those are the types of things that like journalists can be doing that are really, really good. And, you know, I know I have spoken very critically of Kotaku in the past on this show, but that was also many years ago, and many things have changed over there since then. So actually, I don't find them nearly as bad as I used to. In fact, I actually kind of like them, especially after things like this last incident with the Riot Games reporting. I thought that was really fucking well done. So anyway. And Dungeon Buster does clarify the Riot Games story was this past week. It didn't make our list for tonight. Well, I guess I ended up bringing it up anyway. So
yeah.
Well, tonight's the night where I'm going to say things I'm going to get in trouble. Ready? So do you want to know what my reaction was when I read that story?
I didn't read the story, so
my reaction.
Seeing sexism or something in the work.
Absolutely, it's bad. It's bad. Like it's just like they really give like from multiple perspectives. Documented incidents of how the sexism is kind of rampant in that place. All I have to say is my reaction was I was really glad I didn't take that job that I was going for in 2012. That's all I'm going to say. Moving on. We got one more story to talk about.
All right.
Let's talk about Doom Eternal. Doom Eternal is coming to PC, Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and get this, Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, because they had QuakeCon this week, wasn't it?
Bethesda loves Doom Eternal, don't they? Bobby Blackwolf spelling it differently in chat, saying Doom Eternal. Doom Eternal. Sorry if I'm not enunciating correctly for you. But anyway, Doom Eternal.
It's Wood Eternal.
was shown off at QuakeCon, and it is going to be confirmed for all those systems, including Switch. Panic Button is doing the Switch port. They did the Doom port, which many people seem to be pretty cool with. So I guess it looks like it's kind of just a sequel to Doom, but it's going to have some new stuff in it. And that would be the 2016 Doom, not the really old ones. There's a new dash movement. There's a blade, a super shotgun, meat hook. There's going to be more demons in Doom Eternal. And you can actually have players that turn into demons in another player's campaign. That's straight out of Dark Souls, isn't it?
Yeah, or Demon Souls.
And then they were showing some effects where, like, as you blow up the monsters, you can blow them up slowly. Like, little pieces of their flesh fall off the more you attack them and
that's
stuff.
Awesome.
So, yep, that's a thing that exists in the world. But the Doom reboot was great. So, I'm pretty excited about the new game. There will be post-launch campaign DLC. Snap Map is not going to be coming back for Doom Eternal. Those were some other little tidbits that were shared at QuakeCon where id did the big unveil of the game. So that's Doom. You gonna check out Doom Eternal or Doom Eternal? What?
I didn't even check out the first one.
It's good. You should. It's very fast paced, but it's very good.
Yeah,
it's worth your time. Especially now they have it on the Switch. I mean, the Switch, it shows a little bit, but it's not a bad port by any means.
I just played on PC.
And honestly, that's nothing against Switch or any of it. It's just keyboard and mouse for me when it comes to those games. And Dungeon Buster in chat agrees. It's good, Loki. Give it a try.
Yeah, but you see, I have a library of 560 games in Steam, and, you know, I'm not going to play it. I can buy it, and I won't play it. There was a game I just bought recently. I know there's another big game that I bought recently, and I still haven't played it yet, so I can't even remember.
Well, I'm happy you just got to Horizon this week.
Yes, Horizon.
That's one that I still need to play, so.
It's great.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to go from newer games to some classic games. And thanks to the magic of radio, we're joined right now by the one and only Dark Sakura.
Hi.
Hi, you're here.
Yes.
It's magic.
You took me on adventures.
I know. I'm going to take... Would you like to go on a journey?
Magical adventure.
It's a magical adventure. Just get in the van that says magic adventure.
By the way...
Way.
We called somebody at work today a unicorn, and I said, you're in danger if Tim Curry comes by in a devil suit.
So let's talk about a classic game of the week as old as that reference.
Yes.
Because every week, Dark Soccer jumps into the gaming vault. Whether she's here or not, she will be here through magic to jump into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, brat, play this.
Or this is so sticky.
I will send Tim Curry to eat you.
Don't let kids play arcade games when their hands are chocolatey.
What's the classic game of the week, Dark Soccer?
Robotron 2084. So... Also known as Robotron, because that's what we called it. It is an arcade game that was developed by Eugene Jarvis and Larry DeMar of VidKids.
And whoever remembers the numbers anyway.
Yes. And it was released by Williams. Of course, you know, there's a lot more Williams things in my house that are pinball, but we'll not go there. It is a 2D shoot-em-up. And basically, in 2084, the robots have taken over in a cybernetic revolt, and you have to defeat the robots, rescue the humans. I look at this as kind of a precursor to Smash TV, to be honest. You know?
Yes, because especially with the whole double joystick thing.
Yeah, it is the game that made twin sticks popular. It had previously been used by in a game called Mars and in Taito Space Dungeon in 1981, although it originated in the game Gunfight from 1975. So maybe.
But who's played those?
I think if I ever did Gunfight, it would be the second game that came out before I was born. Did Pong come out before? Yeah, Pong came out before I was born, too.
Yes, and you did Space War on one episode, the 1950 Radar. And you did the Radar Love. You've done some old stuff, Darzara.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this game is also listed as one of Jarvis's best contributions to video games. So it's pretty notable. So basically, you have a top-down perspective. You just shoot stuff and try to rescue all the humans. So you have different waves of robots and different obstacles that are in there. And you basically just have to survive. And this is also, this particular game, it did feature mono sound. And it's a raster game. So this was like right though around the era that they were doing all the vector stuff. And it looks fairly vector, but it really is a raster game. It was on a 19-inch CRT. It used a Motorola 6809 central processing unit that operated at 1 whole megahertz.
Wow.
Right? And it actually had this neat thing where it used like this scheming programming to generate sounds in order of importance so that it would sound like it was multi-audio channel when really it was monaural. It also had a custom graphics coprocessor that basically generated the on-screen objects and visual effects independently of the rest of it. And it could also transfer memory speed so that the game would stay fast and animate a large number of things at one time. So this game actually is fairly innovative for its time.
This and some of these later stages got crazy amounts of stuff going on.
So this game took 6 months to develop. Just 6 months. And VidKids was actually a consulting firm that designed games for Williams. And Jarvis and DeMar did work for Williams before. So the game was meant to be exciting, like an athletic experience that had a physical element with the twin sticks. And then it was basically meant to give a conflicting goal, to avoid attacks, to defeat the enemies, and to save a family to earn your points. So it really was these contrasting things. It was also inspired by the Stern game Berserk. And also a game for the Commodore PET called Chase. So, and I'm sure that I don't need to go into those games. We pretty much know what they are. And the dual joystick design was developed by Mr. Jarvis there, who was inspired by an automobile accident and playing Berserk. He had injured his right hand, so he couldn't play the game to test it, so he had to be able to use his left hand as well, so that's where the joysticks came from. He also created a second type of game like this to aim projectiles and things, and so he created a prototype using a Stargate arcade system board and two Atari 2600 controllers. So it basically led to the game we have here. Other things about the game, as far as its story, it was inspired by 1984, the story by George Orwell. Although this, of course, game did predate Terminator. So, who knows, maybe Terminator was inspired by this. But they wanted to do, like, a more realistic time frame for the Big Brother, you know, theory. Big Brother is watching you. Of course, if robots do take over in 1984, then I'm going to say that they were pretty pathetic, don't you think? And they also did all the playtesting themselves.
Well, if I'm alive in 2084, I will be 106.
Girl.
So, I mean, here's hoping, but I'm thinking I'll be too senile to realize it if robots take over. I'll probably see one of those enemies in this game with the brain that flashes all the different colors, and I'll be like, it's shiny!
Well, basically, the game gets harder and harder and harder as it goes on.
When are they going to make a game that gets easier? When are they going to make a game that gets easier?
They should call it Be Rich, and the richer you get, the easier stuff gets.
Privilege the game.
Yeah, exactly. So in 2012, though, Eugene Jarvis wrote an evaluation of the Robotron enemy dynamics. So the game is hard-coded with 40 waves, whereupon the game repeats wave 21 through 40 over and over until the game restarts back to original wave 1. That's after wave 255 has been completed. And so he actually put out a whole thing on there and gave details on how to trigger the secret room in Robotron. So the game was great. It sold quite well. It sold 19,000 arcade cabinets, and mini cabs and cocktail versions were also later produced. The different versions have become rarities. Cocktail and cabaret versions are very rare, while the upright cabinets are more available. It is one of the most collected arcade cabinets. And, of course, it led to, of course, all kinds of other games and different things. It actually has an entry in the Guinness Book of World Records. It was listed as the number 11 arcade game with technical, creative, and cultural impact. And it really, you know, the audio design on it, there's just really a lot going on for it. I mean, I know I've already been into the technical aspects of it, but it really was, the simplicity of its gameplay was really a strong point, but it was kind of a technical marvel under the hood for what it did at the time with what it had.
And you can say it's simple, but, like, if you're good at this game, like, you get gamer cred. Because this game isn't easy. At least I don't think it's easy at all.
Well, and Eugene Jarvis, I mean, he also did Defender and Smash TV. So, like I said, precursor to Smash TV. If anything, I'd say Smash TV was the spiritual sequel to Robotron.
I'd buy it. They're very similar in many ways, especially with the twin stick shooting and all that.
Yeah. So there have been other remakes and sequels. There was a game called Blaster, which was the official sequel, set in the same universe in 2085. It actually is a little bit more maze-like with how you have to move around it. So, and it's pretty freaking hard. And then, of course, there were, you know, other kinds of remakes for the Atari 5200, the 7800, the Apple IIe, Commodore 64, and the TI-99/4A. It also has releases on PlayStation 2 and Xbox compilations, the Midway Arcade Treasures. There's a web-based version of it that runs in Shockwave.
So you have no reason not to try this game. Get your Shockwave on.
Shockwave is still supported. So there also, Midway was going to do a plug-and-play version as part of their line of TV games, but it never came out. So you can download it via Xbox. Well, you could download it via Xbox Live Arcade. And it was taken down in February 2010 because it had some permission issues.
That's weird. I think it is on the Xbox One backwards compatible anyway, though, which is weird.
So Jeff Minter, the other developer, did a game called Llamatron based on the design. And then there is another one that came out on iOS called Minitron 2112. There's also Robotron 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
It was a project that never actually came out. They were really working on it because DeMar went back to pinball development and Jarvis went back to college. So they made an appearance. The robots in the game made an appearance in Pixels. Like, did anyone see that movie? They also mentioned it in Ready Player One, the novel. And there's a modified version of the game in Fallout 4's DLC, Automatron. So there also The world of Robotron 2084 appears in LEGO Dimensions in a portion of the level called All Your Bricks Are Belong to Us. And there you go. Robotron 2084.
All right. There it is. Before we say goodbye to Jamie, anything else you want to let the listeners know for the week, since I know you don't get to sit in on the whole show? Anything before
pineapple
we say goodbye?
Is delicious.
Pineapple is delicious.
And I'm planning on trying to make every fourth Sunday to make it, but I have to have time off because I have to pay my bills.
But until then...
Midna eats a lot, okay?
Until then, Radio Magic.
Radio Magic.
All right, until next week, there it is, your classic game of the week, Robotron 2084. Isn't Radio Magic awesome? Anyway, here we are on episode number 741 of our show for this August the 12th of 2018, continuing on with our program here with just Loki and myself in studio. Dark Sakura going to be absent from the show here in studio for some time, but we do have Radio Magic, as we just did there, so we'll be able to get her tuned in through Radio Magic, and hopefully, as she mentioned at the end there, fourth weekends of the month and so forth as her work can allow it.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase HIP.
Anyway, let's get into some rapid-fire news. Loki.
Yes, so Nintendo has confirmed that the launch of Nintendo Switch Online will launch in the second half of September. So they announced on Twitter. And, of course, as they mentioned, the service will provide access to online play and save game data, cloud backups, and compatible games, and a growing library of NES titles that will be added with online play. All right, I'll believe it when I see it.
Give me some. I want to see the receipts. I want to see the receipts.
I will believe it when I see it because, you know, promises. I'm waiting to see it. All right. And then in movie news, we've got some more confirmations of who's going to be doing some voice work and in the Sonic the Hedgehog movie. So Sonic is going to be voiced by Ben Schwartz. That's right, Ben Schwartz, who you may remember from various projects like Parks and Rec. Or he does the voice of Dewey on DuckTales, the reboot now. He's going to be doing Sonic the Hedgehog. So that'll be interesting. We'll have to check that out. And as we mentioned before, Jim Carrey has confirmed that he will be playing Dr. Robotnik in the upcoming movie. And basically said, you know, that his portrayal will be live action.
Oh, boy.
I love Jim Carrey, so of course I'll have to see this movie.
There's a part of me that still feels like this movie's going to be so god-awful. But, like... Then again, I just saw Mamma Mia 2, and I loved it. But here's the thing. When I saw Mamma Mia 2, I knew exactly what I was saying. Like, people ask me, was Mamma Mia 2 good? And my answer to that is, look, you need to know exactly what you're going to see. You're not just going to see a silly musical filled with ABBA songs to make you feel good and cry at the same time, but you're seeing a sequel to a movie filled with ABBA songs. So like, if you know exactly what you're going to go see, then it's fine. It will meet your expectations. So I feel like Sonic the Hedgehog is one of those movies where I'm also going to need to go into it going, all right, y'all, I'm seeing a movie based on Sonic the Hedgehog. Oscar nominee, it will not be. Except, I guess...
It could win most popular.
Yeah,
now.
I guess now. Now it, maybe it could, because the Oscars will let anything in now. Anything for ratings.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, I'll have to check it out. They also posted, I saw there was a post of a set pic that showed a sign saying "Welcome to Green Hill," or Green Hills, the little town with the big heart.
Well, it looks better than the sign for a Schitt's Creek, if you've ever seen that show.
I love that show.
I was gonna say, Loki, if you've never seen Schitt's Creek, I think you'd
show's fucking hilarious.
I know, that show is so fucking funny. Anyway, I need to watch more. I've only seen like half the first season, but they're on like season 4 or 5, right?
Yeah, I kind of stopped watching it after.
Oh god, it's funny.
It was just funny. Yeah,
yeah. It's like there's great shows like Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is funny. I just just didn't have time to really watch past season two, but one of these days I'll finish. Anyway, let's talk about a device you can watch all these shows on, the PlayStation 4 Pro. You can even play games. The PlayStation 4 Pro has hit a big milestone. They have sold more than 500 million units worldwide. And to celebrate, Sony is going to release a limited edition PlayStation 4 Pro. It's the 500 million limited edition Pro. They're only going to make 50,000 of these. So you do the math on what percentage of the pros out there will be this. But anyway, they're going to be numbered as well. So I guess that kind of makes it even more, I guess, desirable. I don't know.
Yeah.
But what's also kind of neat about this, I mean, have you seen like the color? It's really cool. It's like a translucent blue casing to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really pretty looking thing. Gold lettering on it, and then a translucent blue DualShock and PlayStation camera. So that's pretty cool. So I might be into that if I, you know, had the money to dump on something like that.
Yeah, if I hadn't just bought a PlayStation 4 Pro.
Right?
Yeah.
That's like when I bought my, you know, what's funny, when I bought my original Xbox was something like this. I got the Halo Edition Xbox that was like a translucent green. And so it actually looked really cool. It was translucent green, and then the controller was green as well. So, I guess they've been doing these types of things for a while.
Well,
anyway.
They have that special. There's like two that are going to be extra special on top of that because of the dates that coincide with the launch of.
What did they say the extra special numbers will do?
They didn't say what, but it's going to have something else in there.
All right. Well, anyhow, there are, if you want to get one of these, $4.99 to pick one of these up on August 24th. If you want to just get the controller, you can get that for $64.99. And there's also going to be a limited edition gold wireless headset with the same translucent blue. It's not part of the box set, but it's just something else available for $100. If you have that kind of money to spend, enjoy. Anyhow, let's talk about Mega Man 11. This is a game you might be playing on your PlayStation 4 or your Switch or your Xbox or a variety of different platforms. Apparently, a Mega Man 11 demo is supposed to come out on Xbox One on September 4th.
A demo?
A demo, which I imagine would be a similar thing. Like, they'll have something as well on a PlayStation 4 and all the other
console exclusives for demos now.
Yeah, I don't know. In the demo, according to the description, take on all kinds of enemies and traps in the Block Band stage and use the new double gear system to slow down time or power up your shots and take down that boss. So it sounds like you'll be able to play a stage from the game. This is a throwback to Xbox 360. Remember back in the Xbox 360 days when all those games had to have demos? All the Xbox Live Arcade games had to have demos. So I think because of that, if memory serves me right, Mega Man 9 had to have a demo because it was on Xbox Arcade. So I don't, because I feel like there was a demo where you could play one stage in Mega Man 9. So
yeah, they all have trial versions.
Yeah, so that's probably a similar deal here. So and Bobby Blackwolf confirming he remembers there was one for Mega Man 9. And Dark Tetsuya said, yep, I remember when it had one stage. So this will probably be similar. And I would imagine Block Man is not the stage you're supposed to play first. So it's going to be challenging. Like, because, you know, every Mega Man game has its boss order, right? I imagine Block Man is not the first boss you're supposed to beat in Mega Man 11. So it's going to be even... wouldn't that be a twist? Anyway, let's travel around the world and check out some release dates and some full versions you can buy very soon, starting with the U.S., Loki.
Yep. This week we're getting Death's Gambit on PC and PlayStation 4, Tanglewood on PC, Mac, and Linux. We've got The Walking Dead, the final season, Episode 1 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. World of Warcraft, Battle for Azeroth on PC and Mac. And Penguin Wars on Nintendo Switch and State of Mind on PC, Mac, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And we're only 1 week away from All-Star Fruit Racing for the Nintendo Switch.
Oh, boy.
But that's for next. That's the week after, so.
All right.
We'll have to wait.
Let's travel to Japan, and then, of course, while Jamie's gone, maybe you could fill in on the UK dates, hopefully. All right, cool. So let's travel to Japan real quick, where I don't really see a lot on PlayStation 4 this week in Japan, because the next set of releases I see are all the way out on, like, in the 20s. So I guess that's it. I don't know if there's something going on in Japan this week, but PlayStation 4 doesn't have anything. Let me check and see if there's something on the Switch that is the reason why that's causing... everything to be held up. No, is there a holiday out there or something? I don't know. Yeah, it's an empty week in Japan. There's nothing on PlayStation 4. There's nothing on Nintendo Switch. And nothing on Nintendo 3DS. Hmm. Although there will be, there are more Yo-Kai Watch Blasters games due on the 3DS eventually. So, you know, there's still stuff coming to 3DS. Well, there's that WarioWare game that came out recently, too. So
yeah, I hear that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. So anyway, pretty bleak week in Japan. How about the UK?
UK, we've got a World of Warcraft Battle for Azeroth Collector's Edition and Dead Cells, which is going to be coming out on PlayStation 4 and Switch. And, of course, World of Warcraft on PC and Mac. And that is it.
All right. Let's get to the mailbag. Every week, you guys email us, participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Unless you don't, in which case, last week we learned you all got a punishment. Last week. But we actually got, I think the punishment worked because we got a lot of emails this week. But
it's negative feedback.
It's kind of funny what some of these say, though. We'll get into it. So we actually have several emails to get into tonight. With Dark Sakura not here, of course, I'll be taking over emails for a little bit. So Robert M. starts us off tonight saying, I'm still enjoying the Switch port of Fortnite Battle Royale, but haven't yet invested in a Battle Pass. My brother's 13-year-old son has generally fallen off shooters, but interestingly, his 5-year-old son plays it on my console when I bring it over, or he's at my house. 5 years old playing Fortnite? I can't even imagine. But I guess then again, I was playing games on the Commodore 64 at like 6 or 7, so.
My kid's not playing Fortnite. I haven't thought about downloading it, but he's playing Octodad. He's been like just tons of Octodad.
My brother himself gave the game a try and confessed it was his type of game, although his busy lifestyle doesn't give him much time for gaming, what with his job and 2 sons. If either tried to join me via mobile, would it necessarily work? I do know the console says play with same console on screen. Would that change if I had a friends list populated by players with an Epic account on mobile, PC, or Xbox One? Also, is there any chance of the success of Battle Royale bringing the Save the World PvE to the Switch? I would say as far as your second question goes, I mean, anything's possible, especially when money does a lot of talking. So I would think with as well as that game's doing on Switch, I would think, sure, why wouldn't they bring the Save the World PvE to that as well? I don't play enough Fortnite to really be able to answer your first question. I'd have to defer to chat.
I think that it would be cross-play, as long as you're not on PlayStation, of course. Because right. They don't play nice with anyone.
But he says he doesn't have anyone on his friends list that's mobile, PC, or Xbox One. So maybe you have to add some people there through the Epic Games website or through the app, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I would try doing that. Add some people through the app and then see.
But it's supposed to be everything.
Yeah, it is supposed to work.
Unless you're a PlayStation, because fuck everybody if you on PlayStation.
PlayStation's on an island all by themselves. All right, thanks for the email. Next email from Redertainment, who says, Dear Jamie, if it's not too much trouble, and I don't mean a prior demand, but I'd like to hear more stories from the Leather Bar. Thank you. Stay care, Redertainment. Well, joke's on you. She's not here to tell the stories, but maybe with some radio magic, I can pre-record some stories. She loves that. Some stories in advance for when we need punishment in future weeks due to lack of emails. So
it kind of seems weird that we're talking about punishment and Leather Bar at the same. So this is going in a whole weird BDSM.
I'll tell you what, though, if we go like four weeks in a row with no emails, I'm going to tell you about when I went to Chicago and went to a bar called Jackhammer. That's all I'm going to say. Because there
See,
was
you remember that?
It was shocking. It was shocking. Yeah. What's that? You remember that what?
I was going to say, you remember that movie Bruno? Well, you know.
No, I never saw. I didn't want to see that movie because I was just afraid it was going to piss me off. Anyway. Let's move on and talk about a next email. The next email is from Brandon. Hi, Brandon. Hi, OLR. I love the show and have listened for about 10 years. That's awesome. Yeah, that's an awesome accomplishment. Thanks, Brandon. I cannot express the happiness and comfort you all have brought me during this time. You all have been with me through health scares, family issues, and huge social movements, college, moving, first job, etc. during this time. I wish I could express my gratitude beyond an email. I'm so happy you are still podcasting after so many podcasts have dropped off. thanks for all you do. And that's from Brandon. And there's no questions or anything in there. It's just a nice note. And I can't tell you.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, I know. I can't tell you how much that shit means. Like, for
exactly. I'm glad that somebody cares about this
show. I shouldn't call it
shit.
But I can't tell you how much it means. Like, really. Like, especially, you know, here's the thing, guys. Even though you say in your email, you've all been with me through health scares, family issues, and huge social movements, something to think about, you've been there for me through all those same things. And with Loki and with Dark Sakura. Like, y'all know I had a fucking terrible year last year. And if you were listening to OLR last year, you know what a crap year I had last year. But this show was honestly there. The first couple weekends, like, this show was the reason I like got out of my room or got out of my bed. It's like that constant thing that I have that I feel like I have my social obligation I have to do on Sunday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I technically I don't have to do it. But I didn't want to let you guys down. I wanted to be here. I wanted to do something to take my mind off of everything else that was going on. And, you know, I say me, but I know Loki's been in similar situations, as has Dark Sakura. And, you know, you guys have been there for me. So, Brandon, it works both ways. It really does. So when I hear somebody's been there for like 10 years, I'm so fucking impressed. And I'm so like honored and thankful. Honestly, somebody's survived through 10 minutes of this episode. I'm thankful and I'm honored.
Yeah.
Especially after Loki shattered all your speakers in part A.
Yeah, they're used to it by now.
All right. And thank you. You guys are talking some nice things in chat. She-Hulk says, thank you for doing the podcast. You do an excellent job. Well, you know what? You guys do an excellent job of providing commentary in our chat. And honestly, live fact-checking. You guys are really good at it. In fact, sometimes it pisses me off how good you guys are. No, I'm kidding. Dungeon Buster says, thanks for spending your Sundays with us. Well, thanks for spending your Sundays with us. Aw, group hug. Bring it in. All right. Let's go into this last email tonight, which comes from, it's not signed, so I'll just say Jamie. Not to be confused with our Jamie. It's a different Jamie. Jamie says, just wanted to say that I really appreciate that you have a decently long show. You make the work shift fly by. But it got me wondering, is there some way to track back to some of your older episodes, like an archive I can dig around in? I'd actually be curious to listen to the first episode of OLR. That does exist. Technically, it's not something we officially endorse, but it's one of those things where I think it's cool that it exists. But I'm going to tell you why we don't like officially like try to direct you to find the first episode of OLR, because it was a very different show back then. It took us a long time to get the polish that you cut. And even now, do we really have that much of a polish? But like, you go to those first few episodes of OLR, they can be a little rough. And it's also tricky to distribute those episodes because we played music a lot during the show. And because it wasn't podcast back then, that's kind of like what you did. It was kind of like, we tried to make like a morning show, but on Sunday nights type of thing, where we'd have a little segment, do some music, come back to a segment, do some music. And because our show was so influenced by music-based games, we always had music to play. You know, we were playing the latest DDR music and, you know, all that stuff. So just I warn you, if you go chasing those old episodes down and they're out there, just expect that it's going to be a very different show. And here's the other thing. Because this is what people do in the year 2018. I'm not going to take responsibility for some of the things that have been said on those earlier episodes.
Oh, God, yes.
Because here's the thing. This show has existed for 15 years. And there are probably things I've said on this show, and Loki said on this show, and Jamie said on this show even, 15 years ago that probably wouldn't be okay to say now.
Of course. I tried to say things that were the most offensive things I could think of at the time.
So if you are trying to dig up old episodes to use that shit against us now, like, fucking don't. Like,
first off, no one's going to give a shit because they're like, who?
Yeah, exactly, who? But at the same time, you know, like, I would not be surprised at all if I heard a phrase on television on Project Runway like hot tea ... mess. I probably would have used that phrase here on the show because I loved Project Runway at the time. I wouldn't use that phrase now because I realize like that is like I've come a long way and have learned that word is very offensive and holds a lot of weight to some people. So, and I don't want to like offend those people. So like That's all I'm going to say again, as well as to like digging up old shit, because that seems to be the thing to do now to people, is dig up the fucking archives from such and such day and find the dirt. And I imagine, look, I'm not saying this as an excuse to yell at you, Jamie, because I'm sure your intentions are very pure and very good, and I really appreciate that. But I just kind of want to get that out there. If y'all are going to seek out back episodes, we probably said some shit on those episodes that we regret saying. So please do not come at me with, why did you say such XYZ thing on episode 5 and 6? Because we were stupid then, and we're stupid now, and still learning every day, but we're trying to do better with every day, as I think most decent people are. So anyhow, there you go. SSG 100 Matt says, the first 100 episodes of OLR were very different, but the same humor and fun is still there. Yeah, I think it was 138 was the magic number when the was 138 when the podcast and the live show got married. Because for those that don't know the history
it's
of OLR,
it's probably on the wiki.
It is on the wiki. Well, I'm hoping Dark Tetsuya probably just knows. Yep, yeah, Dark Tetsuya, 170. Okay, thank you. I think 130 was when we started doing the podcast concurrently with the live show. It was around that number, like 131 or 132. Because for those who don't know the history of OLR, we were a live show dedicated to music games. And then when we found out about podcasting, we were like, well, let's do like this OLR to go edition that's going to be about all video games.
Yeah, because podcasts were like,
was brand new.
10 minutes, like,
yeah, it was like 10 minutes. 20 minutes, you know. And that was, it was like, and so it started like this 20 minute side podcast, and then it grew and grew, and then fucking iTunes got podcasting, we were on it, and that's when our show kind of exploded, and we've never been that big ever since. But then it was like our to-go edition started to become like an hour long, and there was a point where we kind of sat there and went, okay, so we have our 3-hour live show we're doing that has maybe 2% of the listeners right now that we have in iTunes on our to-go edition. And right now, there ain't a whole lot happening in music gaming because Konami wasn't making new music games at the time. Guitar Hero had not quite yet broken through yet, so it was in that weird lull. So we just made a decision. We were like, you know what? We're going to take our old format and our new content and make that one show. And that was the show you hear now. So that OLR started, I guess as Dark Tetsuya has it marked, episode 170 was kind of the first of the modern OLR, I suppose. But I still think the years before it count, which is why I say we've been doing what we've been doing for 16 years and why there are really not a lot of shows that are able to get very close to that, because we did kind of have the jump by having a live show for as long as we did before podcasting was even a thing. So anyway, yeah, Dark Tetsuya says, of course, the very first week we did the podcast, they went and announced DDR Supernova. Yeah, I'd like to think that was just really just so that Jason Enos could get at us. No, I'm just kidding. I'm making that up. Obviously, that came from actually, it was really cool because we got to go to that Konami event where they unveiled Supernova. You were like the second person in the U.S. to play DDR Supernova.
Oh, yeah, first. I did.
Yeah.
I had Naoki watching me.
Yeah, that was awesome. Anyway,
because everyone was like, because I think they were doing, everyone was like playing Metal Gear Solid 3.
Yeah, because all these other games were now.
I'm like, fuck that shit. I'm all over Supernova. I don't give a shit about your fucking. Well, they had also Beat Mania. That was the home version of Beat Mania that came over Beat Mania US. But I was like, fuck that shit. I don't give a shit about that. I'm playing Supernova because I want to play that.
Raginator in chat says, OLR is so old that the host can't remember how goddamn old the show is. You're right. Because YYR keeps saying it's 16 years, by the way, not 15. You're right. I should know better. I don't. 15 is a rounder number for some reason. I keep saying 15, but 15 yeah. Plus, 15 plus, fourth mix plus. And then here's the link. If you really want to get to the old shows, Dark Tetsuya has an archive up. It's over at bit.ly, like the little URL shortener, /OLRChive. It's supposed to be OLArchive, but it reads like OLRChive. So there it is. But again, please remember all those disclaimers I gave you about the old content. It is old content. All right. That wasn't all of Jamie's email, though. Sorry, we derailed halfway through. That happens sometimes. So the second part of the email goes, oh, and by the way, I'm not sure about the other listeners, but you can go ahead and pretend that you didn't get any emails again. I almost didn't send this one because Jamie's so-called punishment stories are a kick. Ha ha. Y'all better be careful, because maybe next year we'll just get rid of Classic Game of the Week and we'll just have Jamie's Story Time of the Week. All right. Thank you so much for the email, Jamie. And thank you, everybody, for the emails. I really appreciate that. And you guys know that there's always going to be random stories of some sort here on the show. I just really like to get emails, you guys. I'm also curious, because this question kind of came up offline. Is there like another way you guys would want to interact with us? Like, because here's the thing, and I know it's a weird question, but like, I also kind of also realize that email is getting a little more and more dated. Like, I feel like people aren't using email as much as they are like Facebook Messenger, right? Like, I don't email Alan when I need to get his attention. I send him a message on Google Hangouts, or I text a friend, or I use Facebook Messenger for some people. And it's kind of weird, because like,
I jump on this platform. It's called Google Plus.
Oh. We're there. Did you know OLR has a Google Plus page? Don't you remember the Fugle question of the week, you old man?
Man, we're on the same platform as InfoWars.
Ah, oh, fuck off. All right, anyway. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, we use all dated stuff here. IRC, dated. Email, dated. Shoutcast, dated. Forums, dated, but now dead.
I know.
Skype,
wants,
dated.
Everybody wants to get a hold of us through Elo.
See a Tiberi in chat
MySpace.
Says, I'm holding out for the Scruff profile. That's right. OLR, now available on Grindr. Be sure to swipe right and set a date with OLR. All right. Anyhow, look, we're asking a lot of these same questions, and Bobby says all that stuff, but, you know, there might be a winky face there. Anyway, let's move on and talk about some more gaming news. We have more stories to get to, and then our ancient fucking Skype line at Orange Laundry, which I don't – why is everybody saying Skype is dated? Like, I talked to you guys like a couple months ago about how I was playing one of those online Facebook Survivor-y type of games, right? Because like it was my mystery project I was working on for a little while. It all fucking uses Skype. And the people that played that game and the communities about that, they all still use Skype. I'm in like all
so
these
what
group
they,
Skype chats.
So what is the new, if it's dated, then what is the current way? Is it supposed to be through, you know?
Many shows, especially in the gaming community, are using Discord in this day and age. So what'll happen is that you'll set up a channel, and if somebody wants to call in, quote unquote, they go to a special channel on Discord, and you can like pull that person into like your live call room, and you talk to them through Discord. And I don't, but here's so like I would assume some of the advantages of that is you don't have to add anybody to a contact list. It's open, it's public, it's easy to get to. You can do it on your mobile phone, or you can do it on your desktop, but you can do Skype on your mobile phone or your desktop. So that's why I always kind of like Skype was that, and why I've kind of shifted away. You'll notice I don't even give out a phone number anymore, because who uses that anymore?
Plus, Skype is on some game consoles, whereas Discord is not on game consoles.
It is. But I don't know. But for some reason, that's what the kids today are using is Discord. So it's interesting. Anyway, also, to an extent, Google Hangouts, I think, still, to an extent. I think it's a little harder to arrange your live calls through there, but I remember a time when Skype was down for an extended period that we were looking at doing Google Hangouts as like a stopgap. So I don't know. But anyway, our ancient fucking Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio coming up after some more news. Loki, let's get back to gaming.
Let's talk about Bethesda again. Yay. This time, I don't know. It's not a huge deal, but Bethesda is basically threatening that they're not going to release the Elder Scrolls Legends on systems that don't allow crossplay. So that would be probably like, you know, the PlayStation 4. The Elder Scrolls Legends is a strategy card game that encompasses both single and multiplayer. It's both cross-platform play and cross-platform progress, but would only be cross-play on certain systems. It is our intention for the game to come out. It has to be one of those things on any system. We cannot have a game that works one way across everywhere else, except for one thing. And the way the game works right now on Apple, Google, Steam, and BethesdaNet, it doesn't matter where you buy the stuff. If you play it on another platform, the stuff is there. It doesn't matter on what platform you play on. You play it against anybody else who was playing it at that moment. There's no, oh, it's easier to control, or oh, it has a better frame rate on the system. It's a strategy card game. It doesn't matter. So basically saying that You know, they're talking to their platform partners, but those terms are non-negotiable. We can't be talking about one version of Legends where you take your progress with you, another version where it stays within that ecosystem, walled off from everyone else. There's your shade thrown at Sony.
Sony is going to break on this stance. They are under so much pressure. Sony is going to break on this stance, and they're going to do it in a very public fashion. Probably it's going to be one of their announcements at PSX, is that they're going to announce that Fortnite will soon be like cross-playable with Nintendo Switch or something. They're gonna bulge on it because there's so much public pressure going on, but they're going to do it in a fashion where everybody can cheer and go, good guy, Sony, and we'll all forget that they were ever the bad guy in the first place.
I never forget. I never forget.
Do you? Do you? All right.
Fuck you, EA, and your stupid online pass.
YYR says, Sony is under no pressure. Sony will do what Sony wants to do. YYR, have you ever read the replies to a PlayStation tweet recently? And look, I get Twitter is not always the most accurate representation of society. I completely understand that. However, I do think there's a lot of loud clamoring about Sony. And the thing is, some of this starts to get reported on in the press, and then you have things like this that Bethesda's coming out and saying, if Sony doesn't change, then
I don't know.
We're going to release everywhere else.
I think Sony's stance on this will be, and I quote them, actually, I'm going to quote Bethesda here, it's a strategy card game. It doesn't matter. So they're not going to fucking care. Like, oh, so put it in our blog.
Sony is going to fuck themselves the exact same way Microsoft fucked themselves when Street Fighter V got announced as an exclusive for what? Sony and PC. Just wait. There's going to be something like this that's going to come out, and they're going to say, oh, it's Microsoft, Switch, and PC, and it's not coming for Sony. And it's going to be much bigger than a strategy
Minecraft
card.
Minecraft 2.
You joke.
I know. It's a joke that'll come
you
true.
You joke.
Someday.
Anyway.
Someday.
All right. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, hell, the Sony Fortnite story made it to CNBC or Fox Business during E3. They interviewed Reggie and asked him about Sony and Fortnite. Reggie's like, that's up to them. You'll have to ask them. That's very true.
Fuck those guys, but, you know.
All right. Anyhow. YYR says, a very vocal tiny minority does not speak as loud as the millions of dollars pouring in from loyal PlayStation gamers. Yes and no. Again, we just reported on Bethesda, or you know, discussed Bethesda is about to not release a game on a Sony platform because of this. And maybe it's, oh well, it's a card game this time, but what developer is it going to be next time?
And remember, they have other games other than card games.
Uh-huh.
They have like The Elder Scrolls 6
uh-huh.
or whatever the other game that they were putting out.
There's
Skyrim again.
This is what I'm saying. History will repeat itself, except this time it's going to be Sony and not Microsoft, just like when the PlayStation 3 was first announced and it was Sony and not Microsoft. Like, history will repeat itself. I guarantee it. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. Let's talk about Torchlight. Why not? We talked about Diablo earlier in the show. Shouldn't we talk about Torchlight? Well, sadly, I'm not here to talk about Torchlight 3, but this sounds like it might be just as awesome, if not more awesome. Torchlight Frontiers has been announced. It is a shared world action RPG, and of course, it's the same universe as Torchlight 1 and 2. So this time, the reason why they're calling it a different thing is because it is a shared, persistent, dynamically generated world. So players and their pets will hack and slack their way through the game. There'll be ancient ruins of lost civilizations, and of course, loot, loot, loot. More to come at a later date. Of course, this game is in development at Extra Games. Sorry if I mispronounced that. Runic Games and Blizzard North co-founder Max Schaefer is behind Extra Games, leading this. And a lot of the team is folks that have worked on Diablo previously and Torchlight. That's why a lot of people love Torchlight. Gamescom 2018 and PAX West will be the first time to get your hands on it. So I'm guessing that's when more information will be out. One more quote here from Max Schaefer, who says, evolving the Torchlight universe into a shared world has always been a goal for the franchise. I'm excited that we're finally able to make it a reality. Torchlight Frontiers will be a living, breathing universe that will still feel uniquely Torchlight with our own creative spin. The team is building something truly special, and we can't wait for fans to play it for the first time at Gamescom and PAX West. It will be available on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Well, I guess we know that persistent world won't be shared between all those platforms, huh? Going to the last story. But fair. Actually, I kind of dig the idea of like a one world, one persistent world type of thing. That's going to be very interesting in a Diablo-esque type of game. So I'm kind of curious how that's going to pan out. So the Torchlight games are really good. Like, you know, Torchlight 2 was a good, especially because Torchlight 2 and Diablo 3 kind of came out around the same time. And it was like Diablo 3, when it first came out, was a bit turdy. So Torchlight 2 was a really good kind of like thing to play while they were making Diablo 3 better. And then by the time you kind of wore out Torchlight 2, it was like, oh, Diablo 3 is better again. So, yeah, I'd be very interested to see where this goes. So I kind of like that they're doing something a little different with it. So I'll be checking out Torchlight Frontiers. I hope those of you that are going to one of these conventions that we name check there will get to check that out as well. Loki.
All right. And then let's talk a little bit about Germany and what Germany can now do. So it used to be that any sort of Nazi imagery in games in Germany would have to be censored. Well, now, after pressure, I guess, from, they said, the German Games Industry Association, the government has relaxed their laws regarding that in certain circumstances. So now, long story short, they can go ahead and show Nazi imagery in video games again. So it doesn't have to be censored in the new Wolfenstein game, for example.
Well, I'm not particularly one to celebrate this news. However, I understand if we don't learn from history, we are doomed to repeat it. So from a, I suppose, educational and historical accuracy type of, place. So I get it. So,
yeah.
So, but yeah, that's where that symbol needs to stay. I want to make that very clear, too.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Facebook and AR gaming on Facebook. Now, I know when I say AR games, you might think about stuff like Pokemon Go, because it kind of, like, it sort of has, like, the AR mode in, though, although I never use it. I think the only time I've ever used the AR thing on Pokemon Go is when you have to use it to get Mew.
Oh, you have to?
Yeah, it uses, but it's not as bad as it sounds. It's just part of, like, the little magic, but it's very, like, Mew, spoiler alert, Mew is a guaranteed catch on the third ball. You throw the first ball, it shakes once. You throw the second ball, it shakes twice. Third ball, you're always going to catch it. So it's just a cute little thing.
Yeah, I don't play with the augmented reality part on, because that's just...
No,
like,
it'll turn it on when you do Mew. You have to have a phone that doesn't support it at all to have Mew be a regular catch.
Because it's like, hey, it's battery drain mode, you know? No, thanks.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Facebook, as you know, Facebook really wants to get into gaming somehow. It seems like, I swear to God, I feel like every 6 months on this show, we're like, here's how Facebook plans to get into gaming, and then nothing. Whatever happened to the competitive Pac-Man and messaging and stuff?
They have it. No one gives a shit about
it. Yeah, I know, right? Anyway.
Because every time everybody thinks about Facebook, they think about, oh, hey, they're stealing our data.
That's true. Anyway, or, oh, hey, that's where grandma posts all her racist shit. It's on Facebook, right? Anyway.
Pretty soon it's going to have to be Google Plus.
Anyway, going over to AR gaming in Messenger, that's where Messenger is going to be doing AR gaming in video chats on the mobile apps. So six people can play these simple competitive games, and you can use your face. You use the little star button to pick a game, and that will let you play. So some games you can play feature such soon-to-be classics as Asteroids Attack, where you steer a spaceship around obstacles with your nose. There's another game called Don't Smile, which is a fucking staring contest. It is a fucking staring contest as an AR game. So I actually think these games sound so ridiculous.
Don't Smile is what I'm going to be doing when I get a request for somebody to play. Don't Smile. Like, fuck off. No.
Don't Smile is what I think about when somebody wants to play an AR Facebook game with me. No, but I, I, it, These sound so ridiculous. I almost want to do a live stream of playing these like ridiculous ass games. Let's see. There are also more future additions coming soon. Beach Bump, where you bounce a ball between players. And lastly, but not leastly, Kitten Craze, where you match cats. I don't know how you do that with your face, but I'm told you match cats. It's a kitty matching game. Anyhow, this is all part of Facebook's strategy to keep you involved using the Messenger app because, as we just mentioned earlier, people are using Messenger where, you know, email was what was used before, but now people are looking at other things like Discord, like Skype, like Slack, whatever. So anyway, yeah, I guess there might be some people that are into this, you know, if you're like 14, I guess this stuff would be hilarious, but I don't think I'll be using it anytime soon.
Yeah. All right. That's going to be a no for me.
A no for me, dog. Is anyone out there in our chat going to play Don't Smile? Or you know what it all, you know what Don't Smile is? It's a way for the government to watch you using your video camera. That's what Don't Smile is. Don't smile. The president is watching you. All right. YYR in chat says, "Nah, I'd lose right away." Yeah, with certain people, the minute their face comes on screen,
just come
laughing
up on the screen, smile, and oh damn, I lost. Bye.
Hang up. All right, a few more stories for you, Loki.
So Discord is going to be launching their own curated game store.
I wondered how they were going to make money. Haven't you wondered that? Haven't you sat there wondering, how is Discord going to make money? Like, everybody is using, like, there's tons of things on Discord right now, which by the way, guys, don't forget, you can go to vognetwork.com/Discord and join the official Vogue Network Discord.
So anyways, there's a new tab, I guess it's called Games or Store or something like that, and that basically they're going to offer games on there, and they even have a program, which is the first on Discord program, which funds any game developers. For in exchange for temporary exclusives, exclusivity window usually lasts 90 days, and there'll be some new universal library that will scan for games on your machine and, I guess, boot the launchers for those games. You know, I have to say, the first on Discord thing reminds me a lot of the Ouya, because they had a similar program as
well.
They did. It was the first on Ouya, and Ouya, that wasn't very good.
Ouya! Ouya? Oh, yeah. What do you think about the whole, like, Discord game store as a whole, though? Do you think it's something that could really give Steam a run for its money? I mean, I guess it's early to be thinking things like that, but I don't know. I did notice that they switched it so that when you boot up the app, which many people have when they boot up their computer, now it starts showing you, like, gaming news by default. Like, and it's kind of targeted at, like, the games that you play. So, like, I'll see gaming news. I'll see the common games that I play, like,
well,
a quick launch bar.
I'm going to tell you right now, this is a good thing for indie gamers, or indie games, because I can put my game on Steam, where it's going to get hidden in that pile of garbage, or I can put my game on this service that hardly has anything on it, and it's going to get more views on it.
Interesting.
So I think that's where they have an advantage there.
Well, I think Discord kind of backdoor their store into so many computers by launching this as a free chat. I mean, so many people, because Discord is basically doing what Slack was doing but not charging anybody for it, and it has like all that voice chat built in.
Yeah.
So many people are going to Discord. And as we've seen in the media, and I don't want to get too far down this rabbit hole, but even certain non-gaming things have started using Discord, and some of them have been extremely controversial, and Discord has rightly, you know, put the smackdown on many of those like crappy things that were there, because I guess it would be kind of hard for Discord to police what is gaming and what is not gaming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but anyway, but now I guess Discord, to its credit, by backdooring this whole store into... So Discord was kind of like a Trojan horse this whole time, in a way. It wheeled its way into your computer as a free chat service, and now, ta-da, it's a store and gaming news and all this. But with it being now a branded gaming store and gaming news and all this stuff, now it's very much a gaming service and hopefully is less attractive for things that have nothing to do with gaming that shouldn't be on Discord or anywhere for that matter. So Anyway, Rama in chat says Slack is more for businesses than it is for games. Yeah, it is. But I think about like, you know, like Ingressers, I know, use Slack a lot. And I'm sure there's other I've seen certain other gaming communities use Slack. I know like certain development communities, which I guess is kind of business, have used Slack. A lot of these things were kind of built before Discord. So, I mean, there are gaming communities that have used Slack. There was a hot minute where we were looking at Slack for VOG Network, but it was like literally 5 seconds later, Discord came out. And you know what the key difference was? Well, besides cost, that's a big one. The key difference was that with Slack, you have to invite people to it. And that's like making people ask for an invite is going to turn away so many people that are not going to bother to ask for an invite. But with Discord, you can leave the front door open and say, come on in, party's over here. So when I say go to vognetwork.com/Discord, that's exactly what you're doing. You're just going to the front door and walking on in because you're able to do like an open invite. And the fact that it's free is also kind of another big, you know, selling point on that. But yeah, I get that Slack is also used in a lot of business type of situations. So Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, yeah, I live on Slack on the weekdays and Discord on the weekends. Anyway. All right. One more story for you guys. And I think many of you guys have seen this floating around the internet. Have you seen this kind of like this meme that's out there? This story about the man on the bike, the 70-year-old man, Chen San Wan, old man who lives in Taiwan. He's 70 years old. He has a rig hooked up to his bicycle where he plays 9 phones at a time. I guess apparently, though, there is a setup that would allow for 11, but he basically has them all strapped to his bike, and you can see this in the little, I guess there's like a news thing that's floating around that you can see this and him playing the game. There's a battery that powers all these phones on the bike, of course, that will provide power to all these phones up to 20 hours. And I'm thinking, like, everybody's seen this guy in their town. I don't know about you at Pokemon Go Raids, but I've seen this person that brings... It's not on a bike, but a fucking like clipboard or a board with, and I think the most number of phones I've seen on a board is 7. I've seen somebody bring 7 phones on a board to a raid where it's like they could do this raid by themselves with all of their phones, but it's easier to do it with other people or whatever. Or sometimes, you know, especially because, I was like, how do you tap all those phones at once? And they actually showed me if you face the phones like one upside down and one next to it, so the ball button is at the bottom. It's just at the top in one place and at the bottom in another. And then you spread your fingers out like this, and you go up and down the screen. You tap, 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 tap. You go up and down your clipboard. You tap each one once really fast, and that's how you battle with like 6 or 7 at once. Isn't that crazy?
This is totally violating the, you know, terms of service.
I know, and like as an Ingress player,
like I get it. Like, so quaint that this old man, I'm like, fuck you! I don't give a shit how old you are. You're fucking breaking the rules.
But at the same time, like I understand. Like, here's the thing. The Ingresser in me is like, this is so wrong. But at the same time, I'm like, you know what? Pokemon Go, it's a different game, and I just. If that's how somebody wants to spend their money, spend their time,
better
spend their life.
Better than them doing that and also, you know,
I support
GPS hacking.
Yeah, I was going to say, I support that way more than I support GPS hacking. That's, you know what? If you want to ride around on a bike with 20 phones, at least you're out there on a bike doing it yourself and you're not like fucking cheating from your basement. So you know what? If you want a multi-account, go right ahead. In Pokemon Go, go right ahead. But if you want to multi-account in PvP games like Ingress, fuck right off. That's my opinion. Anyway, SSG100 Matt in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, the one guy I talked to with 4 phones was an older man who is playing on his kids and his wife's account. They can't raid during the day, so on my lunch break, I play for them. And to be fair, there have been times where I've been, especially when it was easier to catch unknowns because of the scanners, I would be like, one time an unknown spawned at the old apartment complex where we used to tape this show before we were here.
Like, so, those actually still, they actually spawn?
Yeah, an unknown spawned over there. Well, this is when scanners were working. So people knew that it was there. So it's not that far from here, right? Because we only moved like 5 minutes away, right? So he got in the car and went over there, and I texted one of my friends to say, this is what we're going to do. And my friend was like, log into my account and get it for me. And I was like, all right, I'll do it. So I logged out. Once I caught it, I logged out of my Google. I logged into his Google and then caught it on his account too.
But do they actually spawn unknowns anymore, or is that just...
They do, but because the scanners aren't available, they're a lot harder to pinpoint. People don't know where to look for them or find them. So they're out there, especially during special events. They're always out there during special events.
Yeah, I need to catch ghost-type Pokemon now.
Yeah. ActDeft in chat says, unknown spawn everywhere. The thing is really hard to find. It's a bummer you didn't go to Capitol Park last week because it was a Duskull nest, so they were everywhere. Look for a Duskull or a Mistrevo nest because those two will nest. I don't know if Shuppet's nest, they might, question mark. But Duskull, Gastly's will nest. I remember that was one of the last Gen 1s.
Because I haven't gotten to the point yet where you have to evolve either a Magikarp. Or what's the other one that they want? Magikarp or...
You have to catch a Ditto and evolve a Magikarp.
I've already caught a Ditto.
Okay.
I've already done that.
And that's one. There's no other like massive candy.
Okay. I wasn't sure if it was Magikarp or...
No, it's only Magikarp. People are theorizing that in later quests you will have to evolve one of the other 400 candy things like Wailmer or... the little bird, Swablu.
Yes, because I'm very close to evolving a Swablu. I'm like, if I need this for, like, I know, right? Maybe I should just hold off because it's garbage anyways, but...
Yeah. Okay, ActDef says Shuppets do nest. Oh, that's good. SSJ100 Matt points out they spawn, like, the unknowns at PAX East and E3, so I'm sure some of the people going to PAX pretty soon will be seeing some of those. By the way, I'm going to open the Skype line now. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype while we finish our Pokemon Go chat. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you want to give us a call and talk about anything we haven't talked about yet or something you want to comment on. SG100 Matt says Lunatones are also a little random. That's one of the few things I don't have yet. It's those fucking Lunatones. Those are hard to find. Those are really hard to find. They spawn downtown, so like once in a while you'll see a report in Discord. Which usually I'm not looking.
I should
looking.
Probably join the Discord.
I know, but God, I'm not looking at it because there's so much there. Like, it's just like it's always full. They're always having to prune inactive people. So it's like, you know, it's like full busting at the seams at 2,000 people over on Discord. And it's like there's so much noise because of that. I mean, they have it split into 11 billion channels. Like, every neighborhood in Sacramento has their own little, like, subgroup. But then what I find happens is that a lot of the subgroups then split off into their own thing. So the Raiders here, instead of using Discord and the channel that was made for this neighborhood, they use GroupMe. So it's like, I have to have Slack for Ingress. I have to have Discord for other games, for like Pokemon Go and stuff. I have to have GroupMe for this. I have to have Telegram because now a lot of the people that used to use Hangouts in Ingress, now they want to use Telegram. I have to use, like, oh my God, my folder of like chat apps on my phone is fucking disgusting. Anyway, all right, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you want to give us a call, we have a call coming in right now. Let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, Robert, it's Reginator.
Hey, Reginator, what's on your mind, buddy?
No, a whole lot. Quick gaming related question, assuming that there's time after the question, quick PSA.
Okay.
Since the subject was brought up towards the beginning of the show.
Sure, what's the question?
All right, now, obviously, everyone doesn't have infinite amount of time and energy to play video games, but we still have an interest in gaming nonetheless. That being said, when we don't have the time and or energy to play games, do you guys have an interest in making use of gaming-related media to kill the time or pass the time? And if so, what is your favorite media?
Gaming related media to pass the time. Interesting.
YouTube. Listening to game soundtracks, watching Twitch channels, reading gaming themed books.
I listen to gaming podcasts, and my very favorite is Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com. It should be the answer everyone's giving. No, I'm just kidding. Sure, gaming podcasts. Why not? I listen to some in my car. I listen to, like, you know, Game Buoy, and if I miss a week of Bobby Blackwolf, you know, some of the other, you know, gaming-related shows here at VOG Network, I listen to them in my car, so that's a legit answer. Twitch, absolutely. And it's so funny, you know, I know I was talking about that whole disclaimer about, you know, things change from 15 years ago to now. Like, I remember there was a time on this show where I was sitting here going, I don't get Twitch. Why is Twitch so fucking popular? Da 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 da. And now it's like, okay, not only do I stream on Twitch and I'm an affiliate, but it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I really do. Like, I like to watch people play games on Twitch, like, a lot. It's like a fun little, like, just kind of, especially when I just kind of want to, like, chill out on the couch. Like, it's a good, like, background thing. Like, maybe what I'm really doing is I'm on my phone, like, chatting or texting, but then, like, I have Twitch on the TV and I'm watching somebody play No Man's Sky, or I'm watching him play Final Fantasy 14, or some other game maybe I haven't played yet, but I want to see if it's any good. Or maybe my buddy Delvin, shout out to VG Realness, maybe he's streaming Octopath Traveler, and he's streaming it so much that then I realize, yes, I do need to get this game, and the little a-hole got me to buy this game. Octopath Traveler, because of his streams. So that's you know, definitely something I do as well. And maybe a little bit of YouTube's here and there, but I think I'm more Twitch than YouTube. I don't watch a lot of the on-demand stuff. Loki, what about you?
I mean, gaming stuff, I don't watch a whole ton of people play games. I do a lot of YouTube, though. I watch more, like, tech stuff than anything. I mean, occasionally I'll watch Donkey. Donkey's hilarious. Other YouTubers, what else? Oh god, I'm trying to think. Ollie43 does a lot of Grand Theft Auto stuff occasionally, and we'll do Fortnite things and like mega ramps and whatnot. So he's kind of fun to watch. Call Me Kevin is another one I watch. He's pretty funny. He does like weird stuff in games and has a pretty funny sense of humor. James Ski, but most of his stuff is just like garbage in VR chat, and he's just kind of ridiculous.
Isn't this interesting that this just goes to show that G4 Tech TV was always going to die? Well, I mean, the thing about, because people, it's very similar to like the radio. Like, you know, I know I've talked about
but
this before.
I watched
terrestrial, like, radio is dying because of podcasts and stuff.
I mean, I used to. I don't listen to it too much anymore, but I used to listen to a lot of the Twit stuff, you know, and the screensavers or the new screensavers and all their shows on there, like the Android One stuff. I used to listen to that, or This Week in Tech or something like that, or no, not This Week in Tech, their daily show. I don't remember what it's called, but I do that. And then Linus Tech Tips, I watch him almost every single day whenever he releases stuff.
By the way, Delvin heard me talking shit. He just joined chat and he's like, you're welcome. He heard me talking shit. Oh no. Quickly, what about you, Rageinator? Do you do the Twitch stuff, or what's answer your own question?
Well, I love listening to gaming soundtracks. I, by God knows how many. I mean, you know, if I were to listen to everything in one big playlist, it would last roughly about a month, you know, with no repeats. You know, in terms of Twitch, I personally don't broadcast all that often, but I do like watching Twitch. I mean, you know, when you or Bobby broadcast, I'll watch your channels. I'll watch the Godcom's main channel along with their guest hosts, individual and personal channels. I'll watch those, and then there's a few cosplayer related channels that I'll watch just for the sake of watching those. But that's pretty much it. Everything else.
Rachel, I just want to jump in real quick to answer some stuff that's come up in chat. YYR says, terrestrial radio isn't in trouble from podcasts, is it? The top 40 in news radio stations probably aren't impacted too much, are they? I didn't really get to finish my full thought on that, and I've said this before, is that where terrestrial radio is shining best, where the other stuff can't really touch them right now, is local news and local stuff. And you know, there's always going to be that available. As far as like top 40 and that goes, I suppose there's always the music that's going to be at the dentist's office, because the radio is always like something free that can be turned on at, you know, a dentist's office or, you know, a stores and stuff, even though many stores have switched to either satellite radio or their own satellite thing, or that's oftentimes delivered through the internet, so that way they can play a song and then have a commercial for what's on sale in your store right there while you're in there. And I think there's another thing there where it's like, if you can't beat him, join him. Because Bobby Blackwolf says terrestrial radio is more in trouble from Pandora, Spotify, and so forth. That's why Clear Channel made iHeartRadio. They have an app as well as broadcasting on FM. And yeah, I have to admit, iHeartRadio is pretty cool because, you know, when it comes to like the local stuff, one of the things I really like to do on iHeartRadio is that I like to go listen to radio stations in other cities. Like, I think it's kind of fun to listen to, like, the radio stations, like, in New York City or listen to radio stations in Chicago just to kind of get, like, you know, like you're visiting somewhere else or something. I don't know. Am I a nerd? I kind of think that's cool.
So, yeah, that's neat.
Yeah. Anyway. Quickly, Rager, I know other people are trying to get in, but quickly, you said you had some other type of, like, PSA.
Yeah. Now, as you mentioned before, you know, someone had recently serious complications related to depression. And, you know, personally speaking, I deal with depression myself. Only thing I can say is if you have issues with depression and there, if you see no hope whatsoever, you're in a lot of pain, so on and so forth, please reach out, be a therapist, your friends, family, significant other, whatever. I know it's tough. I've been there. In fact, I've had an incident last October where I nearly died myself. I know how it feels, but sometimes it does look bleak, but unless you seek out help, now you're not going to find a solution, and trust me, suicide doesn't work.
Very well said. A tricky topic. I wasn't really sure how I wanted to approach, and I think Bobby did a very, very good job on his show earlier, if you didn't hear the beginning of the show. And I know this has been a topic that's been weighing on a lot of people's minds this week with the 4th anniversary of Robin Williams passing, as well as other things you may or may not be, you know, reading about. But, it's hard because I want to give you guys a phone number and say, if you're in trouble, call this number. But I also realize that sometimes when you're struggling and doing that, like the brain doesn't always, you know, because when you're sick, you know, your body parts don't always do the things that they ought to be doing. And so your brain doesn't think, I need help. I need to pick up the phone. I need to call somebody. So I hope, if nothing else, there's that awareness out there that, you know, no matter who you are or where you're at, there is somebody that fucking cares. And there is somebody, and probably a lot more somebodies than you think in the moment, that want to see you beat the demons of depression and want to see you go and do great things and get over these demons that are holding you back and be able to, you know, live a healthy life and all that. So I hope people feel like when they're in these moments, just reach out to someone, anyone. And if you feel like there's no one, then there's always going to be these phone numbers and things. But trust me, reach out to a friend you haven't talked to in 10 years. Trust me, they'll listen. And if you are that person that gets on the receiving end of one of those things, not that everybody knows what to do in these situations, but you know what? Sometimes all somebody needs is somebody to just listen and just say, like, I love you. I care about you. Like, I care. Don't do something to yourself because I care. So I don't
exactly.
know. That's really all the thoughts I can process and put together right now. I just, you know, all you listeners out there right now, somebody cares about you. So when you're in the shittiest position, please don't do anything you'll regret.
I don't have all the information, but I'm pretty sure that there is a nationwide hotline that people can call if you need it. And there's, depending on your locality, there should be a local phone number for you guys, people to call if you want a local phone number. Obviously, I don't have access to everyone's local phone numbers to call for that kind of help, but it's a if you have access to a phone book, look it up. Even if you don't need it for yourself, have it handy just in case you have a friend or a relative or neighbor that does need that information. You can say, hey, I see that you're having, you're struggling. Give the here's a phone number that you can call. You can talk to them, or you can talk to me. That kind of thing.
I'll tell you right now, it's 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-TALK is the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. That's probably the most well-known of those types of services. But I know, for example, if the issues that you're dealing with are a little more LGBT focused, I know the Trevor Project is huge and a great, wonderful resource to help. And I'm trying to look up their information right now. Pardon me, but this is important as I Google it live as we're here. I believe this is the number here. I hope I'm right because I'm pulling this off of somebody's tweet, but it's 866. Yeah, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's the right number. Sorry, guys. Sorry, guys. This is horrible that I don't know it in the moment here, but I was not prepared. Luckily, okay, I found their official website. Here it is, 1-866-488-7386. Again, that's a little more geared for youths. So if you're a youth facing serious LGBTQ-related issues and you need help, 1-866-488-7386 is the Trevor Project. Again, I also understand that, like, giving a number is only so much. If nothing else, call anyone. Call anyone. Don't battle it alone. I guess that's all I can really say.
Yeah, as long as you get help in one form or another, be it a call, go see a therapist in person, speak to a relative in person, or have lunch with a friend that you haven't seen in a while. Mm-hmm. Something, as long as you don't keep them all shut and just try to put on a brave face for everyone, I've had the mentality before of, oh yeah, I'll put on a brave face, pretend nothing's wrong, so not to quote unquote be a burden on everyone else. Yeah. That only makes things worse. Just seek help in whatever way you can.
Well said. Right. And I think on that note, I'm going to let you go so we can try to get some more calls. But I think that was a PSA worth our time. So thank you very much. Take care.
Have a nice night.
You too. Bye bye. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, if you want to give us a call. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, if you want to give us a call and chat about whatever's going on in gaming or what have you this week. Wow, phones are on fire tonight. Let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Ranma.
Hey, Ranma, what's up, buddy?
Not much. I feel like I'm stuck in a bit of a predicament because I'm kind of following up with that call, so now I got to bring the funny now.
No, we're resetting the palette. Do you want to tell a dick joke or a fart joke?
No, not really. But
all right,
I just want to know. We need to stop calling this OLR at this rate, Rob. We need to start calling it Nostalgic Lounge Radio.
Why is that?
I don't know. It just seems like almost once a month we talk about the good times, and I love it. And we have to remind people that OLR is not just a podcast, we're a family. And as you were saying, and I was coming home from my trip this weekend, how the podcast keeps you going and how everything goes and so forth. And it got me to thinking how you guys are there for me, especially you, and my times of need.
Well, thank you. Happy to do so. That's what friends are for, as they say. It's interesting though, because you kind of joke about how every other episode ends up being a reminiscing episode, but that's, I think it's come out of our mouths several times tonight, phrases such as, if we don't learn from the past, we're doomed to repeat it. We also have talked about how emulation and remembering the past of gaming, like there is something relevant there. Why we do talk about the good old days. Why? Because there were some damn fucking good games in those good old days and things we'd like to see again and things that we hope don't go away. Hence me reminiscing about the Guardian Legend and how that is a very hard game to play legally in this day and age in the year 2018.
So does this mean I have to track down another game pack for you?
Your mic is cutting out a little bit. I don't know if your mic moved away from your mouth. Try again.
I said, do I have to track down another copy of the game for you?
No. We're good there. I'm fine. But I'm talking about other people because I sit here on the show and go, y'all need to play Guardian Legend and see what I keep talking about. It's not easy for everybody to just do that. You know what I mean? I can't be like, go on Virtual Console and get... Yeah, I can't even do that.
I mean, I get it. I'm one of those who went to those sites to pull the those games, because there was a lot of awesome Japanese games that came out for the Super NES and Genesis / Mega Drive that never came this way, and this was our way of playing them. But at the same time, I get the legality of it, and I had a brief tweet about this, because somebody was like, look at Discotech. They're going out of their way to track down this anime series. I forget which one it is. They're going through Sony to get the master tapes and all that to do the series. Meanwhile, ROM preservation sites are being shut down.
Yep.
And I said, there's a difference. Discotech is contacting the manufacturers of the anime to get the tapes. These companies, these sites that are preserving ROM games are just grabbing them and throwing them up there. They're not contacting the company for permission to host these, because they know they're going to be told, no, you can't do that, pull them down. But it's not going to matter, because it's going to go underground.
Mm-hmm.
There are torrent sites. Yep. There are torrents right now where you can just get every single Nintendo game.
But I got to ask, I understand that they have they file a lawsuit and stuff, but don't they also have, just the DMCA requests and stuff that they can just do? I don't even know why we have to go through a whole lawsuit thing with, other than, we're going to make an example of them telling them that emulation's wrong. They can put a DMCA request in, and if they don't comply with that, then they can file a lawsuit, but I see, a lot of these sites put that as, hey, yeah, you can report your stuff, and then we'll take it down if that's the issue. I mean, I don't know.
The thing is, these sites are saying that we host these as preservation and archive. That's their way around it. We all know it's not an archive. And besides, with the DMCA, the site, the repository may be shut down. They'll just go to another hoster or another bunch of drop boxes and Google Drives and re-upload all the files.
Yep.
Hey, Rama, you know what one of my very favorite Super Nintendo games is ever?
What?
It's a game called Equinox. It was the sequel to a game called Solstice on the NES that was a very unique kind of 3D perspective. It had some great music, and it was a really challenging, fun little game. Here's the thing. You will never, never say never, I guess, but it is highly unlikely you will ever be able to play that game through legal channels. And I'm going to have to tell you, if you want to go play that game, you're going to have to go download. You either have to find the cartridge, which is going to be hard to find because I don't think they made a lot of copies of that game, or you're going to have to go download the ROM. And you know why? You know why I have to tell you that? Because it's never going to be out for you to play legally. Do you know why that is?
Why?
Because the publisher, it was Sony.
Well, there you go.
Remember when Sony and Super Nintendo were making nice for a hot minute there? Because there was almost a Nintendo PlayStation?
Yeah, the Sony CSG Soft.
Yep. So Equinox was one of those games when Sony Image Soft, I think it was called at the time, or at least their video game publishing thing was, and Nintendo were making nice. Anyway. Rama, I gotta wrap up because we got some more calls coming on. I want to try to get to everybody tonight. So any other quick thoughts before I let you go?
No, that's it. And if you don't mind if I shill my podcast real quick.
Of course, please.
Awesome. We're gonna be talking about Otakon 2018 tomorrow on Tuesday on Anime Jam Session.
You don't have anything you don't have anything to say about that.
Maybe. I'll talk about my big purchase of the con, so
okay.
Cool.
All right, check out Anime Jam Session Tuesday nights here at VOG. Do it.
Yas, queen.
All right, good night, my friend.
Night.
Bye. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. I see some more folks trying to get through. Please keep trying. I'm going to really try to get to everybody tonight. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is SJ100 Matt.
So good to hear from you, Matt. What's on your mind?
Not much. I wanted to talk about you guys might have brought it up earlier, I might have stepped away, but I wanted to get your thoughts on how Pokemon Go Community Weekend was for you.
You know what? Thank you for asking, because when I talked about my gaming week, I completely neglected to talk about
it as well. I forgot. Yeah.
Okay, so no, you didn't miss it, because we actually...
Okay.
Here's the thing, I kind of...
We just played it so much.
I know, honestly, to God, I've been playing...
I forget every week to mention, I played Dance Dance Revolution Extreme, too.
Okay, so I played so much Pokemon Go today that I'm actually kind of sick of it. So here's the thing, because of the other stuff I had going on yesterday. I didn't really get to participate in the Saturday day. So I actually kind of love that it was 2 days this weekend. And I know they also did that because of the number of Eeveelutions that there are.
I wish they would just do it for like more than 3 hours.
But I did. Well, they did this weekend. They did 3 hours Saturday, 3 hours Sunday.
I know, but I meant like.
I know. But anyway.
All day.
Anyway, so I caught one shiny Eevee yesterday because I have this little Bluetooth. It's not a Pokemon Go Plus, but it's a gacha. So I think a lot of you players know what that is. So I have a gacha. And between like the freeway and Melody's house, because I wanted to spin some of the stops and stuff, I got a shiny Eevee somehow because it was right about 11:30 when I was getting over to Melody's house. So I caught a shiny Eevee on Saturday. Today, I went down to Capitol Park, as I usually do. It's one of the big hotspots here. And I went and I – so if y'all are getting gifts that are like Sacramento State Capitol or it's because that's where I like to play. So I went down there this today, and in the first 2 hours, I caught one. And I was like, oh, God, this is how this day is going to go. And meanwhile, Shane, being Shane, is like, yeah, I caught 10 yesterday, and I'm up to 6 today. And I'm just like, I hate him. I fucking hate him. How does he have all this shiny luck? Does he have a shiny charm? Is what I say. Anyway, but so here's the thing. So I started joking with my friends that I was walking with. I was like, man, I'm not going to get any shinies. Pokemon Go is lame anyway. I don't care. Nobody plays this game anymore. I don't need shinies. So I was kind of like doing that whole thing. Like I wasn't serious, but I was, you know, kind of doing that whole thing. And then I shit you not, after my complaining fest, we start walking from where we're at to Starbucks to get a drink because it's kind of hot here right now. I caught in the scope of 20 minutes, and I'm not exaggerating this, 6 shiny Eevees in 20 minutes. Like, it got to the point where, like, I pull up the first one. I'm like, oh, haha, complaining works. I got another one. I pull up the second one. Wow, complaining really works. I pull up the third one. Hey, guys, maybe you want to start complaining loudly about the game, too, because there's something to this. And, like, as we're standing in line at Starbucks, I'm tapping on the Eevees at Starbucks. I catch 2 while we're in Starbucks. I show my friends my phone, and they're like, what the fuck, dude? Like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, even I admit this is ridiculous. But
yeah.
So I ended the whole event with 8 shiny Eevees, and so I was very happy. Now, of course, I started evolving all but 2. Because obviously I'm going to walk the 2, so I get Espeon and Umbreon. And of course, as I evolve them, I get 3 Flareons and 3 Flareons and 2 Vaporeons. No Jolteons.
Yeah.
But that's why they do trading, because my friend really wanted a Vaporeon, and he got 4 Jolteons. So that's what trading's for.
So yeah, no, like, my weekend was kind of similar. Like, the first day, like, I only got like 1 or 2 in the first hour and first 2.5 hours. The last half hour of it, I caught 6 after that.
What's it? Okay, so you had similar luck. Yeah.
Similar luck. And like today, like somewhat similar too. Like I caught 10 today, and previous day I caught 8.
Wow. So you have enough Eevees to start thinking about Gen 4 and stuff. See, that's my problem is I can't really think about Gen 4 because I barely have enough to get me through Gens 1, 2, and 3, you know?
Yeah. And I know this is like people have kind of been saying like there's a maybe little bit of method to the shinies popping up, saying like, oh, if you click on it first, the one that pops up, you're more likely to get a shiny. There's other talk of people saying like if you go into a less densely populated area, you're more apt to get more shinies.
Well, I can confirm that's bullshit all around because I got 0 shinies and I was playing in very undense populated areas and I played for a long time and I got jack shit.
Yeah, so I don't know if there's anything to that. But no, so I kind of like them doing this whole weekend thing.
Yeah.
Because I think it just works for everybody's schedule. It's like, so.
I'm curious what they're going to do for the next one. Because, you know, we were getting like Bulbasaur, Charmander, Squirtle. So, you know, the obvious choice for the next community day would be Chikorita, right? Gen 2's grass starter, right? Would be the
next. Yeah, the things that I was reading, it's like it could be like Ralts, it could be like Chikorita, could be Totodile.
Yeah, it could be anything, really. I wonder, could they unveil Gen 4 starting during a community day?
Well, they were supposed. The thought was that they were going to do that this time, but they didn't.
Yeah.
Well, I saw like a weird tweet go out about how they're kind of starting to promote Celebi as, you know, the next the mythical research.
Mm-hmm. Well, so yeah, because actually Shane already has a Celebi because he went to GoFest. So all the people who went to GoFest got to do the quest there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think they're kind of maybe getting towards that.
Yeah, I think I think the Celebi quests are going to they're going to pull the curtain back on that in the next couple weeks. I really think so. Obviously, we know we're getting Reggie Rock next week. So I think Celebi will come soon after that. Probably, you know, close enough to Labor Day. I'm curious if there's going to be an event going on over Labor Day weekend. But I think that is when Japan has their, because, you know, Europe had an event. The U.S. had an event. I think Japan's event is over Labor Day weekend. And that's going to be interesting because I'll be at Dragon Con. But that is when Shiny Wingull is expected to debut.
Yeah, so I wonder, like, so Niantic did a little cross promotion thing with PAX East. They had pretty much unknowns drop all around the harbor area, and then E3 they had unknowns drop around there. So I wonder, like, it could be possible they could do it at Dragon Con.
I would love it if they did it at Dragon Con. I don't know if they will, because Dragon Con is, if I remember right, Bobby, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Dragon Con is still 100% fan run, and it seems like it's more the commercial stuff that gets the big unknowns, like Comic-Con and PAX and stuff are all, you know, because remember, the guys at PAX sold PAX Expo a while ago. Because Dragon Con is still fan run, they probably don't exactly know who to call at Niantic. But I know our buddy Charles from the Pokemon Go podcast, who is a big part of the podcasting track at Dragon Con, a big part of the reason why I'm able to do as much as I am. So a big thanks to him. I know he's pushing for that, and he would love that. So I don't know. We'll see. I would love it if Dragon Con would get the unknowns, but I'm not going to hold my breath. And Bobby Blackwolf also theorizing Niantic is probably doing it with PAX Prime or PAX West. I guess they stopped calling it PAX Prime, PAX West, because it's at the same time.
That's right. Yeah. I you know what? I believe that.
All right. So. Well, to my number six best friend, I'm going to have to let you go. I just checked my list. So here's the current ranking. My buddy Kyle in Toronto is the only person that I have exchanged or done a gift with every single day since this rolled out. So he's my number one. Act Deft is number two.
Ooh.
My old roommate John is number three. One of my Ingress buddies is number four, Panda, we call him. And then Loki's number five. And then you're number six.
And I just friended Loki, so now now I can kind of stagger that friend bonus.
Nice.
But I'm sure someday we'll be able to do trades as best friends.
Yes, that'll be great. That's the whole reason to do it. Yeah, for sure. Because the thing about shinies, they cost an arm and a leg to trade if you don't have them. They go at the legendary costs. So if you're not three or four star friends, forget it.
Yeah.
All right, my friend, I'm going to let you go.
All right, take care.
Take care. Thank you.
Yep.
Well, weren't they supposed to be doing like some sort of trading?
One more chance to get in. I saw somebody else calling. I'd really love to get on. So one more chance to get in.
Orange Lounge Radio that was going to cost less to do trades for a while.
They are doing an event right now where you get more candy from it.
Oh.
So like I traded somebody today. Like I had a Slackoth that I caught in Chicago, and I traded it for just another Slackoth so we could get thousands of kilometers of distance, and I got six Slackoth candies, which was all I needed to evolve my Slaking, which is actually my second Slaking, but this one is appraised as a wonder, so it's going to be a better Slaking. Mm-hmm. So, because those guys are kind of gym beasts, so that's kind of fun. SG100 Matt says they did have that event where it was 25% less Stardust to trade. I must have missed it. I haven't been doing a lot of trading. Today was actually the first day I got a lucky Pokemon.
I have not gotten one of those either.
What did I trade for it? I gave him something. Oh, we did a distance trade. So there's a buddy in Australia that I have, and hi caller, I'll get to you in just a minute. So there's a friend that I have in Australia that I think is a listener to the show. So shout out to Clover Nikon if you're there. So he sends presents from Australia. So I opened an egg because the eggs are attached to where your friends are when they send them to you. So this egg was Australia. So my friend today was like, oh, I want to trade for distance. And I'm like, oh, well, I have this, you know, it was just a Sandshrew or something. It was not something I need to hang on to. So I'm like, I have this Sandshrew, but it's from Australia. So if you don't have your bronze medal yet, you'll get it off this because that's going to be like thousands of kilometers. So he gave me the Arcanine or whatever that thing is called. He gave me that. Arachnine? No, that Arcanine? Would be a spider. Arcanine.
Oh, I think yeah, the Arachnine.
So he traded that. He's just like, I just have this throwaway thing from like Costa Mesa when I was on a trip. So we traded that, and when that came over, not only did the stats go up so that it was a wonder for me, it was high appraisal, but then it was a lucky Pokemon. So I know those fire with their fire dark doggies. They're not like the greatest Pokemon, but they're not. They don't suck. Like they'll hold their own in raids if you need them. Anyway, I got a caller. I'm making wait. So let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hi, it's YYR. Trying
hey, YYR.
To be very quiet.
No, I know you have a new baby. So congrats and everything. Your baby is not that far apart in age from the baby I went to visit yesterday, who just hit 3 months. So,
aww.
Yeah. So what's up, buddy?
Well, I mean, first of all, I just want to let any prospective parents know it is a lot. It's a lot of work. It's a lot to have to handle.
Loki,
it's not all the, you know, shiny rainbows and all that. So
Loki, does it get better when the kids get turned 7 years old?
No.
It gets different, right?
They just whine more.
They whine more. They're able to verbalize their problems a lot more.
Yeah, if everyone just says it gets better, it gets better. I'm convinced it probably just gets different.
It gets
at
better.
Least until, you know, they turn 18. And
yeah, I was like, it gets better when they turn 18 and they move out.
My wife is nodding.
No, but I think it's great. You guys made a child. That's amazing. You know, kids aren't for everyone. Alan and I decided a long time ago it's not for us, but we love cats and we have cats.
Hey, if you can come to an agreement, that's the best thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that I know just, you didn't
you know,
just want to talk
means
about
you're more compatible.
I know you didn't want to talk about babies solely tonight. What else did you want to talk about?
First of all, the Bethesda Sony thing that you touched on earlier.
Yeah.
So I really think that Sony is in one of those sorts of positions where, you know, doubling down, they think, is going to look better to them than changing course. I don't know why I get that impression, but that's just the impression that I get. I have a feeling that they would rather double down than say, oh, you know, we're going to reverse position and play nice with everybody now. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I feel that way, but I just that's the feeling that I get.
Yeah, but the problem is it bit Microsoft in the butt eventually. It's going to bite Sony in the butt eventually, too. I know, you know, because we were talking a little bit in the chat and so forth, and I know, you know, guys on Twitter are whatever. It's not a big deal, but it's like, you know, when you start hearing more stories like this, when the press starts doing more reporting, when the Business Journal is asking Rezzy Fils-Aimé about, you know, this stuff, like it is starting to hit the mainstream press, like that noise is going to come to a point, and it is going to start to affect Sony when they start talking about things like PlayStation 5. You know, that's when Microsoft really had to pay the piper, was that people really shredded them when it came to the Xbox One. You know what I mean? So if Sony
it may, but you're also comparing Xbox with PlayStation, and here's the thing. So Microsoft had to really claw and tear their way to where they got with the 360. Mm-hmm. As it is worldwide, even at the height of the 360's popularity, PlayStation was still much more popular in Europe, much more popular in Asia. Sure. And, you know, they basically have the dominant world position when it comes to gaming as a brand. Mm-hmm. I don't think any bad will that comes from this, I don't think it would hurt them as much as it would hurt Microsoft in the long run. I think that they have enough loyal players, loyal fans, that this is barely going to register on their radar.
You know what? I will concede this point because you do bring up a really good point about the global market. And Microsoft doesn't matter in Japan. I get that the Xbox One is sold there. It's a non-issue in Japan. So Sony can get away with this in Japan 100%. Sony can get away with this 100%. But also now we're talking about the Nintendo Switch and PC. And I think as the Switch starts to grow, if the Switch can kind of cross play with some things, I mean, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I still think it's going to kind of come to a point eventually, especially if Sony just kind of continues this sort of attitude that led to this decision. You know, I think that's also part of what really defeated Microsoft is that they kind of went in there unveiling the Xbox One thinking we're going to do all these things that the gamers want. And it was just too early, and it was really missold. I think they had we all know they had a horrible person at the helm.
Yeah, at the end of the day, though, it's like, okay, so the PS4 has no backwards compatibility, so you still can't change your name on PSN. So, I mean, there's a lot of ways, services, where Microsoft exceeds Sony. It doesn't matter. PlayStation 4 has the exclusives, mm-hmm. and, you know, the global fan base. And once again, they're in the position of dominance right now, and I don't think they need to worry about these things as much. If they don't want to. I mean, yeah, it would be the nice, friendly, player-friendly thing to do to open up their this and that and the other thing and to add all those features I mentioned. But, I mean, unless someone lights a fire under them, and I don't think it's going to be Nintendo because I'm still convinced that the Switch is not direct competition to the PS4. So
no, I don't think that either. But I think ultimately it's going to be companies like Bethesda over here that are going to end up lighting that fire. And, you know, sure, you know, the card game is whatever. It's not going to be something that affects a ton of people. But when it's Street Fighter V, you know, or Street Fighter VI, should I say, or whatever, like Fortnite 2, or even, as Loki says, very tongue-in-cheek, Minecraft 2, although that's a whole nother issue since we all know Microsoft runs the Minecraft ship now. I think they would do very well to conveniently not release on Sony's platform for a few months. I think they would.
I'm sorry, it's just, you know,
that's business.
Wanted to do, you know, crossplay, and you just won't play.
Yeah, but anyway, all right. I do still appreciate your viewpoint and your thoughts, especially, you know, you do bring up some very good points with the global market. I think sometimes we forget. So I mean, we'll see how this plays out. I think
I'm excited as a spectator to see how this plays out, how all of it goes and what happens.
For sure. All right, my friend, I'm gonna let you go so we can wrap up though. But take care, and it's good as always to hear from you.
Hey, no problem. I'll just mention one quick thing on the way out.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not making any official announcements yet, but I've started working on Bungie Ferret Tossing again.
Yay!
You may or may not see it on Steam before the end of the year.
Yay! That makes me excited.
Yeah, you could always put it on a Discord game store there.
Also,
they'll pay money.
I have noticed that Super Multitasking has been getting some updates, and, you know, I read your changelog, and I can see what you're kind of doing. You've kind of going back and addressing a few things. You obviously have been distracted for a few months by the baby, which everybody completely understands and respects. But you know, as a Super Multitasking fan, I was very excited to see. Ooh, they're still making Aaron's in there making updates again. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, most of it is just to fix something that was the whole thing was frustrating. Long story very short, a third-party library that I used for the Steam support, leaderboards, stats, and so on, it broke.
Don't.
And they basically didn't provide any support, so I had to redo the Steam support from scratch using a totally different library.
Yikes. Well, you got it, though. Congrats. My one request, though, before you put out Bungie Ferret Tossing on Steam, mm-hmm. which you may or may not be confirming right now, please let me mm-hmm. submit a picture of Mr. Smush for inclusion.
Oh, yes. The call will go out for more pet pictures.
Okay. Amazing. All right. All right, my friend. I'm going to let you go. Best of luck.
Have a great week, guys.
You too. Bye. All right, that is going to do it for the Skype line tonight. Thanks so much to all the callers. But if you didn't get through for whatever reason, we're after 9 o'clock. I got to wrap up. But if you didn't get through for whatever reason, please feel free to send us a tweet at OLR. You can always email us, of course, participate@orangeloungeradio.com. SSJ100 Matt pointing out tonight's calls were all from the state of New York. All four callers were from New York tonight. That's very true. Do you know, that goes back to the Live 365 days when you could see, like, what markets. Like, number one was always Sacramento, obviously, because that's where the show's based and where all our friends are that we were telling about the show. But the number two market for this show is almost always been New York, which I find. I always just kind of was like, well, it's you know, New York City's a big city, of course, but no, you guys are awesome. All of you are awesome, though, no matter where you live, where you're from. International listenership is amazing as well. Met so many people around the world. All right. Anyway, we got to wrap up for the night. Thank you guys so much. I didn't even check if there's any last-minute stories, but at this point.
I was just going to mention one thing I saw here. Quake Champions went free-to-play.
Oh, yeah. I did hear about that. That was other news.
So they have an option where they're going to rotate out a certain champion. They'll be free, and then you can unlock more by earning they said favor in matches, or I think you can also pay to unlock stuff too.
Nice. All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up here at Orange Lounge Radio, but if you enjoyed what you heard here at the show tonight, please tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but if the voices aren't here to air, then what are we going to say? Nothing. So anyway, please help us spread the word. A nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes or wherever it is that you heard about this program. Those reviews go a very long way, and I really do appreciate them. So thank you to those that are leaving them. That does it. Let's go around and get folks' final thought for the night. Loki.
My final thought is, sometimes the sound of goodbye is louder than any drum beat.
Okay, throwing it back, Seventh Style. I see you. Let's see. Then my final thought would be, I guess then my final thought would be, die, Suke. And until then, until next week, we'll see you in 7 days when once again we can.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.